DeMarco Show, the best wrestling program on the planet. On the planet.
She said, Bray Wyatt, the first time that I ever looked inside of your eyes, I knew there was something inside of you. I knew that you were evil. But I am proud to say that right now somewhere that teacher lady is rotting inside of some retirement home filled up with all of her life's regrets. But I, Bray Wyatt, stand here in front of you today as a conqueror, as a revolutionary, as the man of a thousand truths, and I say, Miss Teacher Lady, look at me right now. I got the whole damn world in my hands. I am the necessary evil that must exist in this world to balance everything out. I am evil.
Greg DeMarco Show.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Oh, sneaky. You gotta go to bed, huh?
And I love you, Greg.
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
That I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Yes!
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's gonna be a soundbite right there.
Uh-oh. You're welcome.
And I love you, Greg.
You're listening to The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and, that's not, they come off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's, I just gotta, third time's a charm. This is The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to The Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show, on the web.
Poor Greg DeMarco. The wrestling really had to go down. Sexy and dangerous is too young. This is the Greg DeMarco Show.
We're here.
On the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd, and sometimes Sue Young, but I don't know if Sue's going to join us tonight. She's a game time decision. Patrick O'Dowd, welcome.
Thank you. Every week is a game time decision with Sue Young, man.
It's
we can't,
kind of a
we
game
can't
time
be
decision
expected
with us.
True.
So, yeah.
I mean, it was a dramatic day today out here in the Massachusetts, too. I don't know what it was like in the AZ, but very, very crazy out around in my parts.
I know you had I'm trying to make it a bigger thing than it was, like that you had fires and all
no,
kind
no,
of stuff,
we,
but you really didn't.
I've never been evacuated out of an office building before because apparently there was a gas leak on the campus, and it was like pretty legit. The cop like ran through, was like, "Get out now." It was almost like something out of a movie. I'm not even kidding at all. I was running out. I had like my bag in one hand, like my briefcase bag, I had a book. I forgot my keys. I had to like go back and get the keys. And then flames were chasing me as I was coming. No, that part's not true. I can't
back
that
one up. It'd be fun if it were true, though. It wouldn't be fun if it were true in the sense that you could die, but it'd be fun if it were true just in the sense it'd be a good story.
Well, and let me tell you, Mrs. O'Dowd was making plans, in the event of my unfortunate demise.
I know the one thing that wives love is insurance.
Yeah, apparently I'm worth a lot dead.
Most of us are worth way more dead than alive, and
which is
and
very
most of
sad.
Our wives know this. So yeah, it's I don't know if it's sad or if it's just kind of the
well,
way
it is. It's sad as I'm not the one who works for an insurance agency.
I mean, neither. I used to be.
I know.
She is, though. Yes, yes. She works for the insurance agency and therefore knows exactly how to maximize your death when it happens.
Yeah, she was all like, I just need to figure out who's going to mow the lawn. Our debts would be paid and our kid could go to school.
That's right. Mow the lawn.
A little O'Dowd going to college.
Yay, little. Finally. We were worried about him. And
he's got to be smart enough to go to college yet. I'm not sure if that's, you know, we don't know yet. Jury's still out.
I love the confidence you have in your own child. That's good.
I mean the kid eats paint. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't eat paint. I'm making that up too.
Even better.
Oh, that'd be rough.
That would be rough. That would not be good at all. By the way, Patrick O'Dowd.
Enjoy the
Greg DeMarco Show.
And remember, it's party time all the time.
Hey! Oh, 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 oh.
You know, I was watching Raw last night when Adam Rose made his appearance. And one thing missing from the Adam Rose appearances is our good friend, who now happens to be the Rainbow Rosebud, Patrick O'Dowd, our good friend Mary Elizabeth Monroe. I have to say it slow so I don't call her Mary Elizabeth Parker, which I almost did on the show a few weeks
ago.
Attaboy.
Ruin everything, man.
She's developing quite a following as the Rainbow Rosebud, which is understandable. You know, people latch on to things. It's got a nice
ring to it. Like, that's, you know, that flows very nicely.
Plus, you know, she came on the show. And
she did.
We all know when you come on the show, good things happen to those who come on the show.
I believe it. And so do the people who come on the show, I guess. I don't know. Do you get flooded thank you letters? Nobody's calling me. They don't sell out. They buy in. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Thank you, Seth Rollins. I need to get that for you in the future. That would be good. By the way, we're getting requests on the Twitter to book some of the now released WWE superstars. People are like, I know, but it's just for some reason it started today. People are like, get the released WWE superstars. I'm like, okay, we can try. You know, some of them have already been on shows.
Maybe it's because they knew we were actually having a show this week. Maybe they were like, okay, so they're good. They're actually going to be on.
We have an opening next week, by the way, because I move stuff around. We currently have no guests for next week. So.
Ooh, that's a lot of wrestling talk and a pay-per-view.
You're a potential guest. I know we do have pay-per-view to preview, yes. Now with two Money in the Bank ladder matches. Spoiler alert. Now with two Money in the Bank ladder matches. Not a very big spoiler alert because we're now on the main event. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like it's going to be announced on SmackDown. Even so, I do remember a certain debut episode over 3 years ago that the show will not be spoiler-free.
That's true. We've never hid from that.
We've never hid from that. Although sometimes we're like, oh, but that's a spoiler. But no. So, spoiler alert.
You're welcome!
We always half-ass the spoiler alert. Like, let's be honest.
Because
like,
it's stupid. You're listening to a show on the internet. Like, you can't expect it to be free from spoilers.
What?
I know. Sorry. Internet wrestling.
You have a vagina!
Spoiling everything. I'm going to spoil more stuff later. And then next week when we do the pay-per-view preview, we're really spoiling things that week.
That's because we're always right with our pay-per-view predictions. So we usually have to pay-per-view for everybody.
We do have Mariah Rivera coming on next week. So it's not like we have no one. We can just talk to her for an hour and a half.
We could.
I mean,
sometimes our interviews do go an hour and a half. You never know.
Have we ever? I think we have, actually.
I think the first Too Young interview was pushing an hour. Jimmy Rave was a long one. I remember that one. Jimmy Rave, we let go for a while.
But you're talking about
worth it. It was absolutely
classic.
Worth it.
Right
no,
there.
I'm not saying they were bad interviews. I'm not saying that, like, oh, my gosh. I mean, the joys of being on an internet radio program with no producer in a booth telling you to get the hell out of there after 15 minutes is that you can have an interview like that.
That's a thing of beauty right there. That's
We're goddamn independents.
We are. Fiercely independent. They used to be Ring of Honor slogan back in the day. They were fiercely independent.
But then they bought in.
That's right. That's the shirt that Shane Hagedorn wore as he was a camera guy.
That's true.
So, see, look,
we could have previewed that pay-per-view.
But we're not. We could have.
But we're not. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's okay. Look, Michael Elgin's going to win the world title. There you go. There's your pay-per-view preview.
You heard it here first, kids.
Watch it on pay-per-view. It's going to be a good show, too. There you go. So we previewed the pay-per-view. We had a spoiler alert. We're good. We're good for today. It's been a good show.
It's a shameful thing. Lost your head.
Not really. No, I wonder how many people turned it off when I did.
Nobody.
That. Nobody. Or if they did, it wasn't because of the sound bite. It was because of the show quality. That's what happened. That's what happened. So we do have, just everyone knows, in about an hour from now, we'll be joined by our good friend Darren Corbin. Darren Corbin hasn't been on for like a year, at least a year, maybe more than that.
Well, it was your motivation in our last show that was going to be the next mission was to bring Darren back. So
and we've brought Darren back, and then
success,
the joy that is trivia time with Allie Parker. You know that's going to be just the most fun train wreck ever when we do it.
It's funny. You say joy, and I always am like, damn, I'm terrified that I'm not going to know the answer to something really easy and then have to, hear it from you.
Right.
I think I'm 0-2 so far in the trivia department. Maybe we tied, last time.
I don't know. It does. It's kind of like Whose Line Is It Anyway, where the points don't really matter. The whole thing's made up. Points don't matter. That's how it works.
Still real to me, damn it.
Well, I know, because you think wins and losses matter too.
Wins and losses matter.
They don't.
Unless you're Bray Wyatt.
See, but you do. You do recognize that. So I guess I can give you that much. That's for sure. That sound means we have a caller, Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, boy. Who we got?
That's right. Calling from the 330 area code. It is the host here on Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com/PWRadio. The host of our Raw Reaction Show. The good man from the SESS group on Facebook. It is our friend, Harry Broadhurst. Harry, what's going on?
What's going on, Greg? Hey, Patrick. What's happening?
Not much, man.
I was actually hoping that he was going to ignore you, Patrick, and just.
I mean, it's the status quo of the show, so it wouldn't have surprised me.
It hasn't been recently. Recently,
people get my name wrong, dude.
Once, and then everyone else's incident has done it on purpose.
Yes, there you go.
Yes, when Phil O'Dowd is still one of my favorite moments.
Oh, that was rough.
I figured I'd leave the Patrick ignoring to Tony.
That's
Tony was good at that, actually. Tony was really good at that. So I saw it now. Did you move the show to Wednesday this week, Harry?
Yes, the show had to be moved to Wednesday. There were some technical difficulties on Tony's end. I was originally scheduled to be off due to having a get-together with my girlfriend to celebrate her birthday. I was with her and her family. So it was originally going to be Tony and Chad Perry last night, but Tony had some technical difficulties, so we've moved the Raw Reaction to tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Pacific.
So wait, the show didn't happen and it wasn't because of Chad Perry?
Yeah.
I know, that was low. That was low. Sorry.
I mean, usually when somebody doesn't show up to something that they agree that they're going to arrive to, it's going to be Chad Perry.
Oh, that's amazing. That is awesome.
1 year ago, last
One
Sunday, Chad
year
Perry.
Ago, that's right. Oh.
Because that's how I roll.
You guys are on a real sound effect kick tonight.
What?
Hey, that's every
nothing.
Week, dude.
That is nothing. And who's this you guys stuff? It's just me.
Yeah, I don't mess with. I messed with the control panel one
that's
time.
That's not cool.
Indeed. So do you want to talk about our opening topic with us, Harry, or do you want to go away?
I can stick around for the opening topic here.
Opening topic. We are talking about some wrestling. Talk about now. I don't want to steal your thunder because we are going to talk about last night's Raw. So we'll pick one of these topics because we have a bunch. You know what I want to talk about, and Harry can join us in on this, because I was excited by this, and I had a lot of fun. Even though it's the last of the Raw topics or WWE topics I have on the list, we're going to jump to it. That was last night's debut of a man called Stardust. Because I want to know what you guys thought, and Harry, we'll let you do the honors. What you thought of Stardust?
Well, first and foremost, the immediate reaction I got is the fact that he busted out Masato Tanaka's old finishing move, the Diamond Dust, was a nice touch.
Of course.
Realistically speaking, I think it's just going to be an end to a means to get to the eventual Go Distant Cody feud. That being said, I think there's some marketing possibilities here for them to have a short-term teaming under this incarnation of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, I love, like, he came out, and this just shows how talented Cody Rhodes is. Like, if you think about the characters he's played, when he was dashing Cody Rhodes, then he was, like, the beautiful disaster Cody Rhodes, and then, of course, just kind of normal Cody Rhodes. And now Stardust, like, he does what we talk about, Patrick. He takes the character, and he goes all in, no matter how good or how bad it is. And the look on his face as Stardust, it was like a different look than we've ever seen Cody Rhodes before.
Yeah, it was one of those. I had a lot of fun with it, and I'm happy with it as long as it goes somewhere. I think if it's just weird to be weird, then it doesn't really serve Cody very well.
Right.
But I got to be honest. The first thing I thought of when that popped out, I went back to my old Nintendo days. And was like, holy shit, there's Starman, like in different colors, like with the star on the face and the whole thing. I got all nostalgic, and then when like Harry said, when he hit that finisher, I was like, that's about as close as they could do to getting that like backflip kick thing that you would see on the old Nintendo.
I know,
pro wrestling it's game. I might have been a little markish. Okay, I'm always markish, but I thought it was fun. I thought it was perfectly harmless. It seemed like it went over pretty well, both on the interwebs and amongst the live crowd once they sort of figured out what the deal was. So as long as it's progressing and leading to somewhere that hopefully it builds Cody up, I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's kind of what I'm worried about with Stardust. Not worried about, but what if it just really gets over, like really in a short period of time, and so they change their mind? Kind of like Daniel Bryan and Kane, when they got so over that they stuck them together, and we saw the things that led to. Like, what if they just say, you know what, we're not going to turn you yet, because this thing has legs? Do you think that's a possibility, Harry?
I think they could give it a couple months here. I wouldn't be surprised to see this be the lead-in to going towards the WrestleMania feud that everybody had been talking about. Give them a few months to team up together again as Gold and Stardust, have them pull the trigger around Survivor Series on Cody turning, and then do the slow burn into Mania with it. Can I ask a question of you, Greg?
Yes.
Are you at all worried that this could be considered WWE's version of what TNA is doing with the Willow-Jeff Hardy thing, where it's known that it's the person's alter ego?
No, not in the least, because it's something that, you know, it's not that he's this weird thing that's walking around in the woods. It's an imitation of his brother, Goldust. Like, he is trying to reform the team. He said he wasn't good enough to team with his brother. Probably going to use it to eventually turn on him and be like, look what you did to me, look what you made me do, kind of a thing. So, no, I do not have that concern whatsoever.
Patrick, how about you? What are your thoughts on that?
It doesn't feel like they're going in a Willow direction sort of thing with it. I will say that they really shied away. I think at one point Michael Cole said something about alter ego and dropped Cody's name. But on the whole, they'd have to really pull it. I just don't see it. I didn't get
it's
that vibe from it. You know what I mean? I think they could go that way, but I don't think that's where they're going.
And I haven't seen much of that feeling. Now, maybe I just missed it since I wasn't watching live. But was there a lot of that out there, Harry? Did you see any of that or a lot of that?
I actually wasn't online when I was watching Raw this past Monday, so I didn't have really get a chance to check in any of that. But
you call yourself an internet wrestling fan?
Dude, did you not hear what he said he had going on Monday?
I know.
Why you gotta do that? Just because we speak badly.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have some decorum, please?
I'm a bit of a rarity. I'm an IWC guy with a girlfriend. Anyway.
But does she hang out in your basement, man? Like your mom's basement? You're like, hey, babe, come over to my pad. My mom will leave me alone after 10, but she'll make us pizza.
The Totino's pizza that's like a
sponsor
of WWE. Mom, we need more pizza. She came hungry.
Yeah, I got to say, I do just kind of picture every internet wrestling fan now as being a fat Will Ferrell living in the basement of their mother's house.
It could be. Remember, Patrick O'Dowd, we established this years ago on this program. Not all wrestling fans live in their parents' basements. Some of them live in the attic.
Yeah, that is true.
Come on now. Some of them live in the attic.
That's like the penthouse.
I just threw that in there for the hell of it.
The only problem is they're kind of our target audience.
You know, but they can't.
Yeah.
We call them out, and there's no like denying who they are. Like the great thing about wrestling fans is you can be like you're kind of a, you know, you live in your parents' basement. It's kind of sad that you type on a computer all day, and they're like, you know what? Yep, and I don't really care. And then they'll troll you. Like that's
yeah.
How it works. I mean, Greg, how many poor children in Pennsylvania did you do whatever to?
I don't even know. And like a number.
And yet they
given.
Still listen to you.
And they still read every single week.
That's right.
And I would put it into the column and challenge them all. The best is when you actually looked it up.
Yes, I did look it up.
If it wasn't there, who knows? So I guess it sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we're at least calling Stardust an early success.
Yes, I am absolutely calling it an early success.
I'm willing to give it a chance and see what happens from there because the initial impression made enough of a memorable distinctive had enough of a memorable distinctiveness to it that it might have some legs behind it. I agree with Patrick there.
So can I ask one other question, Greg?
Sure.
As we threw this out there, if Stardust had debuted in TNA, what would we be saying about it today?
That's apples and oranges, though.
Why can't you have Stardust in TNA?
You could have Stardust in TNA, but then it's not someone being like their brother who's also their tag team partner because you could never have Goldust in TNA. So it would be terrible, and we'd be complaining about Stardust in TNA because it was a copy. But if TNA was in, or if Dustin Rhodes was in TNA as Black Rain and Cody showed up as White Rain, then I'd be okay with it because it's a copy.
If he was going to come out, it'd be Purple Rain. Have him drop his friend.
That would be amazing.
He'd only have a symbol for his name.
Nice.
That's true. That's. I wonder if any wrestler could get a. Speaking of Purple Rain.
Hey, this is Rain, and if I'm.
That's the only thing I have.
Yes, I know.
That has with the word Rain. I wonder what wrestler could get away with a symbolified name. That's a good topic that we'll have to table for another time. Harry, before I let you go, plug the show for tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Raw Reaction, which usually airs Mondays, will have a special 8 o'clock start time tomorrow night here on blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingPower, PWP Radio. In addition, you can find myself and Tony on the Yes, Yes, Yes page on Facebook. And Tony will have the 5-1 over the weekend for you guys as well. We look forward to seeing you all on tomorrow night.
That's what I'm doing!
We'll be lucky if we get a 5-1. I'm just kidding.
You think so?
We get a 5-1.
We didn't get one last week?
We missed a 5-1. We don't do a show regularly like we say we will. We can't really hold this over.
Right?
We can't hold this over Tony's head, man.
I think we can. I think that's why we can, because we do it too. So.
Oh, can I plug one more thing real quick about tomorrow's show?
Why not?
This is my way of saying thank you, acknowledging your contributions over air. I will officially debut the soundbite for Harry's Hit tomorrow night.
Ooh, I could have stolen your thunder by playing it, but I'm not going to. I'll let it go for tomorrow.
You made it. You can play it if you want to.
I'm not going to do that. I don't want to ruin it. That's longer than I thought it was. 13 seconds, long time in radio.
Is it wrong that I, like, started dancing as I was walking around the apartment listening to that?
It's not wrong that someone started dancing, but it's wrong that you started dancing.
I mark for myself, much like Patrick does.
For all we know, Harry's got moves, Patrick. We don't know.
No, I assure you I don't.
Oh, see, that's a great thing about the internet, though. You don't have to prove anything, so it's okay.
Yeah, you just say shit and people believe it.
That's right. Keyboard warrior.
Like you saying that I'm a mark for myself. Don't act like I didn't miss that. I didn't miss that. I caught it. Nice try, asshole.
Oh, look at that. Wow. I gotta scroll up to the soundbite now. It's like I haven't played that one in a while either. And that's our good friend Adam. I have too many soundbites. Now I'm going through the too many soundbites thing. I thought about reorganizing the soundbites just in purely alphabetical order. Not by.
Nice try, though.
There we go.
Took,
wow. Good stuff, Harry. We will see you soon. And throw Harry back on hold there. All right. So we've managed to – we have 5 points to go over in the first hour, and we spent 26 minutes. I got through 1 point. Patrick, you're down.
Well, we do sometimes just goof off a bit on the show.
Yes. If you thought this was a serious wrestling show where we had nothing but opinions about wrestling and we never had any fun
– I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Hopefully people know better than that by now. I was recently speaking with somebody offline about their experience on our show, and they were literally talking about how great it was compared to some other interviews that they've been subjected to doing. So it's always good to hear those praises, Patrick Rodown.
Excellent. I appreciate being praised as well.
We do. We try to have fun. We want the guest experience to be a good one. So they might actually be willing to come back sometime in the future. That's
yeah,
usually.
And by the way, listeners, I just want to pull this plug out there. If you want to be thrown trivia questions by Ali Parker, jump onto our the Snake Pit, the chat room, and she is throwing questions. I'm already up 1-0. I am up 1-0.
Outstanding. I will probably not participate in the chat room questioning solely because I have to actually host a show.
I know. I'm actually kind of disappointed because now she's gonna ask questions in the chat room that I'm gonna get right. Then when we come on live, she's gonna ask me something, and it'll be like another Chuck Norris situation at Survivor Series or SummerSlam or wherever the hell that was. that was brutal.
That was brutal. Just a reference. All right, let's move on to some other
topics. Yeah, let's talk about some more wrestling.
Some more wrestling.
Wrestling.
God, I want to make sure we get to the other stuff, too, that we have planned, and we got like 30 minutes. I know.
So why don't you do this? Why don't you pick your highlight out of those 5 points from Raw, and let's hit on that.
All right, I like that idea. My highlight from Raw, well, I do because I want to complain a little bit. So I want to talk about the way that Roman Reigns was handled on Raw and kind of what they did with it. Not really a highlight per se, but it's definitely, yes. And we'll shed light to the topic. So with Roman Reigns, okay, first of all, I have no problem with Roman Reigns winning the Battle Royal. I think if you're going to give the guy the main event push, I have no problem with him winning that Battle Royal. It's how he got there. Triple H taking Roman Reigns out of the Battle Royal and saying he can't be in it, I have no problem with that. Apparently Dean Ambrose didn't care because he never once mentioned the fact that he was kept out of it. He might have mentioned it actually in the promo, but chose to focus on Seth Rollins, which is fine because I thought they were going to have a match, but spoiler alert, Seth Rollins is now in the second Money in the Bank match at the pay-per-view.
Dude, you're ruining the whole show. God.
I would like to take this moment to apologize for ruining the whole show.
I'm going to nerve rage soon. Spoiler alert.
That's right.
God.
That's right. Spoiler alert. Seth Rollins is in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Not the World Championship ladder match, but the title shot. Ladder match.
You're welcome.
That's right. So anyway, So Triple H takes Roman Reigns out of the Battle Royal, right? We all know this. Roman Reigns finds his way back into the Battle Royal by essentially poisoning Stephanie McMahon's coffee. Although how he knew that one was going to Stephanie and the other one was going to Triple H, maybe they wrote like Hunter and Steph on the Starbucks cups and we just couldn't see that because of the angle at which Vicky was holding them. Or maybe I just need to suspend disbelief and not worry about those kind of things.
Well, or maybe he didn't care which one of them got poisoned. He just needed to get both of them out of the equation. See, look at that.
I don't understand. So he poisons Stephanie's drink. Stephanie throws up on Vicky. So Vicky then suddenly puts Roman Reigns in the match? I really don't understand. Like Roman's reasoning was, well, you're going to get fired anyway, which is Roman's fault, so you might as well put me in the match. Like, it's just, I wish that reasoning worked in all walks of life, because we could get a lot of stuff done. Like, it's like basically, it's basically if I told a guest, like, look, WWE is going to release you anyway, so you might as well record a soundbite for my show. Like, it just, you know, it just, it makes perfect sense.
Just tell us everything you really feel about the company.
No, that's bad. When people do that, they then get mad at us and never come back. We don't want to.
Oh, that's not our fault. We didn't
tell
them to do that.
That's totally my fault. I did not properly ask the question and then did not follow up with the proper clarification, Patrick.
Right. Yes. Is that this month's version?
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
God, I'm such an asshole.
That was the funniest moment of the year so far.
That doesn't say a whole lot about the rest of the year.
She's just so, so pretty.
See, there you go. I made it all better. She's a very pretty lady. Very, very pretty girl. Wow. I can't wait to see what kind of communication I'm going to receive.
Oh, well, that's why this is the reason why I like being the co-host and not the host. People don't care about me. I totally egg that on too. Like, that's what happened. Like, I'm the one who's like, well, what about this? And then I just opened the door for you, and you walked on through it. So,
I did.
Anyway, so
I was going there anyway. Yes, ref, Roman Reigns. Let's get back to Roman Reigns. So he convinces Vicky to put him in the Battle Royal. He then goes on to win said Battle Royal, which, like most Battle Royals, there are only like 3 or 4 people that could actually win this Battle Royal. It did do a couple things, though. It got me excited more excited for Rusev than I have been. Like the only thing that's ever excited me about Rusev is Lana, and now I have another reason to care about Rusev. Because seeing him work against somebody who's not just going to, like, you know, sell everything and never get any offense in, that's not entertaining. But watching him fight with Roman Reigns, it made me think, like, they could actually do something with Rusev if they wanted to, other than promote Vladimir Putin, who's more over than half the roster, thanks to Lana. At least as a heel. Lana doing a great job. Lana doing a fabulous job, by the way.
Yes.
But the thing is, like, I like that they got there. I didn't like how they got there. So, but enough out of me, Patrick O'Dowd. What did you think?
It's another one of those, we talk about this all the time. In the sense that this is the exact sort of skit that I have trouble when I'm trying to get people to be like, you know what, wrestling's not that stupid, or wrestling's not that, you know, there's a lot of good stuff that shows up in wrestling, and then that skit happens. And that's just a level of dumb that a lot of people can't reconcile with, because it is, it's straight up stupid toilet humor that really works for a 4-year-old. And that's about it. And so, you know, we went in the juvenile direction with Reigns, who's been nothing but a straight up sort of dominating badass to this point. And now it makes sense. So it's like completely out of character for him, and then to turn around and like you said, like, the logic doesn't really jive either. Like, Vicky's in charge, she's gonna get fired anyway, so, you know, might as well put Reigns in the match. Like, we've still got a week of Raw left. I'm sure there's gonna be some way that they try to pull Reigns out of the match. And in fact,
they
tried to poison your boss. You're fired. Like, fired. Like, Vicky gets vomited on, and she's going to lose her job, but the dude who poisons her, and he's going to keep it? Like, fired. Like,
That's suspension of disbelief. I'll say it again.
I disbelieve that Vicky's the one that gets fired in this equation.
But yet it will be. And here's the thing. What if they kind of have to fire Vicky now, at least from a storyline perspective.
Yeah.
Like, they've really, you know, backed themselves into a corner on that one, unless they just want to blame the writer they fired. But I guess they fired the writer last week. I don't know. I just don't know anymore. It doesn't really matter.
Whatever, more cuts are coming. Vicky's part of the cuts. That's what it is. Vicky's just, she's part of the cuts. And
they just started working next week before they announced it. She'll be released next week. Watch.
She was going to leave on her own for like 2 months ago or something
right?
like that.
Right, exactly. Like, she was going to leave on her own, and who knows. All right. I want to end with a little – now, you know what? I'll save that for next week when we preview the pay-per-view, the question that I was going to pose. I will save that for next week, Patrick O'Dowd. So,
all right.
So there we go. Roman Reigns debut – not debut, but the way he was utilized. Not the best, but, you know,
yep.
The old adage, it is what it is. That sound of course, Patrick O'Dowd, I mean, it's time for you and I to make the decision on behalf of World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE Hall of Fame or not. And this week, our you know, talent du jour is none other than Miss Hardcore Mickie James. Because remember, they cannot be an active competitor. They cannot be an active
yep.
performer. So we can't be like CM Punk. Well, I guess CM Punk we could do. But we can't be like Cody Rhodes. Does Goldust get in? We can't do that. But
does Stardust get in?
And yeah, right. And we can only talk about the WWE Hall of Fame. We might, if we get to it, talk about the TNA Hall of Fame, but for a totally different reason. Patrick O'Dowd, Mickie James, Hall of Fame, or no?
I'm gonna say no.
What?
I know. And
why not?
You know, well, here's the thing: I want to establish that I appreciate Mickie James as a performer. I do think that she's very talented. She's done a lot of great things. And I do, as much as you don't, I do still like to view the idea of a Hall of Fame as being somebody who sort of took their portion of professional wrestling into a new place. And I don't know that Mickie really was that person. I think that she was a terrific, you know, top flight talent, who is a serviceable main eventer and champion, who's really, honestly, in my opinion, famous and known for one infamous gesture during WrestleMania.
I don't think it's the only reason why she's famous and known.
I don't think it's the only reason. I think that's what popped her bigger. Like, that one gimmick in that run is what made her huge. I don't know that after that, you know, like, she's kind of there. Like, you know, she, like, that, to me, that's the thing, is, like, she wasn't, like, all, like, Trish Stratus had an aura about her. I'm sorry, Lita had a bit of an aura about her when they came out there, and you knew what they were going to deliver, and the way that they sort of changed the way that women's wrestling could be wrestled. You know, for as much credit as people like to give Sonny as being the first diva, really, and you know, for a lot of people, Trish Stratus is the first sort of true diva. Lita was the one who sort of busted that mold and tore it up and down in a different direction in a way that nobody really thought of, and was completely revolutionary in what she would do in the ring and what she could be. Mickie James was very pretty and capable in the ring, and again, wonderful talent. Somebody that you could absolutely rely on to do whatever for you. But I just, like, to me, she doesn't. To me, Hall of Fame does not ring for me. Because I don't think that she did much more than that.
But did Rick Rude do much more than that? I mean, he was a great gimmick and a great performer, but he didn't.
I think that Rick Rude, you know, I would like you to talk to me about the wrestling tree that has sprouted from Mickie James. Like, when you look at wrestlers today, like, mm-hmm. people talk, and maybe it's because Mickie James hasn't been, you know, out of the spotlight, or, you know, out of sort of the mainstream wrestling long enough for this to really take hold. And it's not to say that people don't idolize or look up to Mickie James. I don't want to say that. But when we talked about Rick Rude 2 weeks ago, we were able to sit there and talk about that. He was the cool heel who was truly like an ass, period, that people loved before it was really the popular thing to do.
True.
Like, he was the heel people cheered. He's the persona that sprouted so many other, you know, great heels that we look at today. He's the type of person who made the Ultimate Warrior look like a decent worker. And so I think that, no, you know what I mean? Like, the best matches the Warrior ever had were with Rick Rude, period.
Oh, yeah. Can't argue.
And so I think that there's a difference there. And part of it may just be longevity, or not longevity, but years gone. Like, Rick mm-hmm. Rude's been gone for a lot longer than Mickie James has, and Mickie James is still somewhat active. So, you know, there's still growth that could happen, but I don't think that 10 years from now we're going to be going, yep, that wrestler was influenced by Mickie James. Or, like, see Mickie James in that character.
I can definitely say this. We've had, I don't know how many, we can't even number the number of female guests that we've had on mm-hmm. this program. How many have said Mickie James whenever we've talked about why they got into wrestling?
I've never taken a tally.
It's zero. I can tell you. I feel like that
would be a lot of Lita, case. A lot of Lita.
A lot of Trish.
A lot of Trish. And I mean, that's a different, and it's not, and again, it's not to say that any of those women, like, we are not putting words into women, you know, into these guests' mouths and saying that they yep. like hated Mickie James or something. It's just, that's my case. Like, that's why, to me, she's not a Hall of Famer. She's a terrific worker during an era. She was she had a good run as a heel for a while and as a face in the WWE. Came into TNA as a big deal for a while, but really was there and then just sort of was faded to the background in both cases. And, like, I don't think of her that way.
Whereas I do, actually. I do
That's
think
fine.
That she would be inducted for what she did as a performer, and I think she could be in the Hall of Fame. I think she's done enough, so to speak, and I do believe that Mickie James does belong into the WWE Hall of Fame. She's definitely someone who's established a heck of a reputation and has done a lot. So I do believe that Mickie James should be in the Hall of Fame. So Patrick O'Dowd, we actually disagree.
Yeah, well, you're wrong, so it's fine.
Oh, you're not allowed to say that. You can't do that. That's not allowed.
Like, I just did.
Oh, you did. You're not. It's not right. You're supposed to be subservient. You know what?
It doesn't matter what you think.
No, we are.
I didn't even give you the time to let me talk. Like, I just
I
let you hit the button. I was just like, just hit the button. Like, just do it. Like that.
And
in
that's
my,
okay.
If you could have seen my face, that's the face I was giving you. Just push the damn button.
So, and we will hopefully get to some more Hall of Fame stuff here momentarily. But we got a lot of stuff to get through, so we're going to keep on rolling. By the way, I just sent a tweet out, listeners, if you want to respond. You give us your opinion. Is Mickie James a WWE Hall of Famer? And I put Mickie in the tweet, Patrick. You know, I'm not going to subtweet Mickie James. We're gonna put, I doubt she cares and responds, but I put her in there anyway.
You never know.
That's true. Stranger things.
Tweet
have
about people.
This
is Lee
Emery, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh no, the snow! Bullshit, 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 bullshit.
The Wrestling Realist Patrick O'Dowd Bullshit Internet Report of the Week.
Okay, so we got three reports this week. All three of them come from old standbys, good friends of ours. So that makes, you know, it's always a little bit fun. I will say this. It's kind of hard. There's like sort of three big fish in the pond that report
really
a lot
are.
Of bullshit. And sometimes it's not bullshit. But so we got. So our good friends at PW Insider were one of many, but I think they were the first ones to break it. As most people know, by at this point, the WWE cut a large amount of talent back on about a week ago now. And so PW Insider had reported that Mark Carano, who works under Triple H in talent relations, is the man who made most, if not all, of the calls today informing talent that they were released. It is being said that cuts are not yet done and that there may well be cuts tomorrow, with releases set to be made on the administrative side as well. Basically, the cuts are looking to cut across all departments. Word around the company is that the WWE Network's current state is the cause for the cuts. As previously reported, the network is projected to lose money this year. So,
you mean a company that's laying people off is doing it across the board? That's unheard of.
Yes, it is unheard of. Well, and it's here's why I sent you this. Like, this came out and I immediately was like, here you go. And here's why. The WWE makes a periodic, when the roster cuts came through, and I will say this, we just had this report of a writer being cut, and now we've had like one writer and a bunch of talent. And amongst that talent, like it was nobody that was really doing anything big. There were some surprises, like, you know, 2/3 of 3MB being cut. That surprised me because they've been on TV.
Yes.
Oksana, who'd been actually getting some airtime, even if it was, you know, as besties with what's her name, Alicia Fox, like those raised eyebrows. But this isn't unusual for the WWE. I mean, it's notoriously known that shortly after WrestleMania, they do a trimming of the roster.
Yeah, I think what's surprising, they didn't do this big of one over the past few years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That just means they was coming.
Yep. And in regards to the sort of the other stuff, like the other part of this that always sort of stands out to me, every time these cuts come through, there's some catastrophic thing that we are certain is to blame. And this time
That's
around,
right.
It's the WWE Network.
There's always something. It's been the film division. It's been all kinds of stuff. I'm sure at some point it was the internet's fault, because it always is. There was for some reason that these cuts were going to happen. Maybe they weren't going to be this big, but you know what? It's in the entertainment business, this kind of stuff happens. Next week when we have Mariah Rivera on, I bet she can tell us about how over the 5+ years that she's been a part of Fantasy Luxor, the Luxor Fantasy Show, they have turned over some of the talent because you got to keep things fresh. So, and I think, you know, them doing it with main roster talent, number one, those people make more money, so you're going to get a bigger cost savings if that's what you're going for.
Yep.
Number two, they know what they have. And those people already. They don't. If people like cut some of the NXT talent, they don't really know what they have in some of the NXT talent. Joe Raleigh is going to work out, they don't know that. But they know what they have in Oksana. And while I was sad to see Oksana go, not really going to. And a month from now, I'll be like, geez, this would have been better if Oksana was there.
Yeah, or Brodus Clay. Like, I got nothing against Brodus Clay. He's a lot of fun.
Or Brodus.
But really, yeah,
poor
I mean.
Brodus. So I feel bad for Brodus.
Somebody call his mama because he needs a place to stay. And that's, I mean, it happens. I mean, I think Jim Ross actually really, in one of his mini blogs that he puts out like every 5 minutes, made a pretty good point. He was just like, this, it's an unfortunate part of the business. He said, you know, he hated having to be that, like that was part of his job for a period of time. But it comes with the territory. And, you know, sometimes these people, you know, land on their feet. Sometimes they come back. Like, sometimes people get cut and come back. Like, it happens all the time. So there's nothing to say that this is something that's unusual or out of the ordinary. I think that the fuel to the fire for this report, Greg, which actually, oddly enough, wasn't mentioned here, is the big stock plunge. I'm surprised that wasn't part of the quote-unquote report.
Right, which, you know, they like to say. By the way, just for poor Brodus Clay, I mean, I really feel bad for Brodus.
Hey, 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 yo! Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here!
By the way, Brodus and Kurt Hawkins both proof that you jobbed to the NXT champion on the way out.
That's right. Put the guy over.
Yes. That is true.
So anyway, so that's number one. Number two, report number two comes from our good friends at the Wrestling Observer. Can't leave them out.
We love the Wrestling Observer.
We do. And so this one comes straight off the presses in regards to the WWE Network. For those of you that follow Legends House, you probably know that the season finale happened this past week, and that Pat Patterson came out. And according to the Observer, the reason that Pat Patterson revealed publicly that he was gay on the season finale of Legends House was that the WWE wanted media attention, period. When WWE first filmed the show, they intended to sell it to a network like Sci-Fi or E!, they felt that Patterson's news would get a lot of good media attention, similar to how Darren Young's announcement did last year. TMZ did pick up the story, but it didn't get nearly as much media attention as some thought it would. It did trend as number one worldwide on Twitter. Where to start with this?
Well, I'll say a couple things. First of all,
sure.
Thinking that Darren Young's coming out moment was before SummerSlam of last year, this may have actually been filmed before Darren Young came out.
Yep.
So maybe Darren Young coming out was solely because of the fact that they couldn't yet use the Pat Patterson news. And maybe it's like, oh, well, we have this great idea. We want somebody to come out, but we have to sit on this one forever. So, Darren, it's time. Like, I kind of, you know, maybe that happened. Who knows? This was a surprise to what? No one?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big thing. Like, this shocked nobody.
It did. And I think there's a bigger conversation around that part of it, because it was still clearly an emotional thing for Pat Patterson to do. Like, I mean, you watch it, like, the man's in tears. Now, he's either an amazing crier, you know, or whatever. But it's still something that, while, you know, it's kind of like one of the worst kept secrets in wrestling, it was still one of his things to sort of, like, it's his right to decide when he wants to go public or say that. That the WWE, you know, would want to use it for publicity, that to me is not necessarily surprising. You know, it was there and exists. I think the point that you made, Greg, that really stands out to me with this is this happened, you know, conceivably happened 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, and was filmed 2 years ago. So, what sort of publicity did they hope to gain? I don't know that it really would have done much. I mean, yeah, sure, you want a show, like anybody who's filming a reality show, you want the final show to be like the climax. You want something big to happen. So, to me, it sort of stands to reason. Like, that's probably the most shocking thing that could come out of that. So, why not run with it?
Well, and we have to remember, we have to tell ourselves, this is the same company that thinks Stephanie McMahon throwing up on Vicky Guerrero is funny.
Exactly.
So, you know, when we're trying to evaluate what they do, sometimes it's worthwhile to step back and remind ourselves they do stupid things all the time. And to me, chalk stuff is a stupid thing. In terms of the actual internet report, I think it's a very smart, educated guess.
Yep.
Not news.
I would agree with that.
They don't know. They don't know.
They don't know for sure. I mean, you look at the way the WWE marketed it, you know, leading up to the show, and it's very clear, like I remember seeing a commercial, I was like, oh, they're finally going to just be like, Pat Patterson's gay. Like, Pat Patterson, like, that's clearly what they were trying to get people to tune in to see. Challenges with that is, one, whatever buzz you're trying to generate, you have to have subscribers on the network to watch it. And two, you got to have people like us who are a little bit older, like, we know who Pat Patterson is. And it's, you know, a little bit more of a deal. You know, a 10-year-old fan, they don't know who the hell Pat Patterson is. They're probably not watching Legends House anyway, but
no.
But like the people that that are watching your show, it wasn't like, it's still a big deal for Pat Patterson to come out because it's, you know, it's his life. But to the people watching, it was not nearly what what you would assume, or the surprise that you would assume it to be.
No, that's true. And I think the other thing to think about for me and the people who really deserve praise are those on the show who were, you know, quote unquote shocked by this news coming out. Like, great acting job by them.
Yeah,
you
well
know,
played.
Well, they all knew about it. They all knew about it.
Sure. I mean, you look at you read anybody's, you know, anybody's unauthorized WWE biography or, you know, some of the biographies, they there's stories about Pat Patterson in there. So not news to them at all. Anyway, moving on to the last story in the interest of time, because we're coming up on 11:30. This one also comes from our good friends at PW Insider. There were some creative releases last week to go along with the talent releases. This included head writer Jay Gibson.
Oh, no.
Not to be confused with the other Jay Gibsons out there. Or you know, James Gibson. WWE has reportedly made other money-saving moves over the last week, but they have not been revealed at this time. The company is looking at several ways to make cuts in advance of the next quarterly earnings report. There are many within the company worried about their own short-term future, especially if they've been there for some time and make good money. Many feel it's going to get rough in the coming months, with everything from production and creative developmental seeing cuts in different areas. We actually sort of covered this when we talked about the initial sort of spate of cuts and what's going on. There's cuts happen, and companies run into, you know, ebbs and flows. This is definitely starting to feel like an ebb for the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, until we get like a massive release of a bunch of people getting cut and the WWE shrinking down, like this is purely educated speculation.
Yeah, oh, I agree with you 100%. And it's the cuts are big news, so everybody's going to talk about it, but no one really knows. And I have to be honest with you, and maybe it's just me showing my level of ignorance. This was the first time I ever heard the name Jay Gibson.
Yeah.
Writer? You know, and we've heard of writers before, but is this just how fast they go through writers? I would be more entertained by the fact if someone told me Jay Gibson got fired because Roman Reigns had to poison Stephanie McMahon's coffee to get
right.
to the Battle Royal to earn a spot in the Money in the Bank ladder match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. But telling me that he was released last week, I don't care. Again, but I do tend to believe this report only because who would make that up?
Yeah.
Like, why would you
make up
that, what's his name again? Jay Gibson?
Yeah. Who's running around being like, whoa, Jay Gibson? That's big time. You know, it doesn't really serve much.
No, it really doesn't. It doesn't serve much at all. It's just, yeah, it's just another stupid, you know, piling on, so to speak. In my opinion. But, you know, what do we know, Patrick O'Dowd?
We're just two guys on the internet. We don't know anything.
We are.
Which
do
means
we have,
that we know everything.
Do we declare a winner this week? I don't even know.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I don't necessarily, like, all three of these reports, like, while they stood out to me as being possibly bullshit, there is, you know, sort of a ring of truth to a lot of them. I'm going to go... Because it's a fashionable thing that we do on this show, I'm going to go with the Wrestling Observer, just because it's kind of a big well duh sort of report. Like, of course they want people to like talk about it. Of course that, you know, it's a big deal. Yeah, it's not a secret to anybody, but of course they would want to market it, and like it's the pinnacle of the show. So for that, Wrestling Observer, You get. I'm just going to give you a half-hearted victory this week because
that's right.
You were sort of telling the truth, but it's still laced with a little bit of shit.
That's true. That is true.
I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.
Yes, sir.
This just in, Patrick O'Dowd. Spoiler alert: Dolph Ziggler won a match. He beat.
Whoa.
He beat the Intercontinental Champion, Wade Barrett, in a
why?
Non-title match. Probably
okay.
because they They needed a reason to put Dolph into the other Money in the Bank ladder match because someone has to sell everything. So
I want to take the last minute real quick here. Why do they hate the Intercontinental Champion in the WWE? Why?
It's not the Intercontinental Champion. It's just the secondary championships in general. It's not just. Now, they won't necessarily do it to Sheamus.
No, they won't do it to Sheamus at all.
Because
Sheamus.
It's true. It's a combination
but the
of
philosophy
who
is so fucked up. And I'm like, I'm this to no end. If you work for the WWE, if you are in that locker room right now as a member of the WWE, and they say, son, we're going to put a strap on you. We're going to make you the Intercontinental Champion. That's the belt that's been held by Triple H. It's been held by Steve Austin. It's been held by The Rock. Just resign yourself to the fact that you'll never be those guys because they're not treated that way anymore. You are treated like a doormat for other people, and you lose all of the credibility you've built. Like, whatever goodwill you've had, it's gone. Just kiss it goodbye. Because they're going to destroy you until you just lose again and again and again. Like, you look at everyone's – when Dolph Ziggler held that belt, when Barrett held that belt multiple times, Cesaro, they obliterated Cesaro as the – he was the U.S. champ, I think, at the time. I don't think he was the Intercontinental champ. But, like, he just kept losing. Like, you just lose and you lose and you lose. And then you have to blow that person up and rebuild them after they lose the title. Wade Barrett was a good thing going, and you are killing it, creative. Was this written by Jay Gibson? Is this why Jay Gibson was fired? I need to know, because this is ridiculous. It's horrible. Horrible, horrible. So saith me.
Because that's how I roll.
By the way, you're not allowed to have a catchphrase at the end of your stuff, at your rants. So don't eat. Especially, you can't steal Christopher Daniels either. Just want to point that out.
I didn't say anything about being according to the gospel of the fallen jobber.
Well, he used to say so.
I was going biblical more than anything. Not really fallen angel biblical. Just like I'm really frustrated with the fact that you can't have an intermediate champion not win. Like, ever.
Yet Patrick O'Dowd cannot believe how upset I am over the fiasco of the Texas Death Match.
No, I think that's hysterical.
Which we may get to.
That's
don't,
such
don't
an innocuous match. I'm
no,
not
going to
go there.
We'll talk about it later, hopefully, if we have time. Maybe we'll bring it up with Darren Corbin. By the way, okay. Let's take a break so we can go get Darren Corbin. Pick the music.
Let's go Edge.
That's like old reliable. It's become old reliable now. Is the Edge one? Just because it's amazing.
You think you know me?
Show.
This is Vicky Nitro, and you're listening to The Greg DeMarco Show, and if you don't listen to it, I'll kick your butt, and you will respect me.
Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd.
Bimini's hoes!
Greg DeMarco Show.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay. There's a $1 million man. Always in his way.
That's right. Just for you, Patrick O'Dowd. Just hoping to calm you down and make you feel all better.
Still angry.
He's still ranting about it in our private chat that we use during the show to keep things going.
Man.
He's still going
on
about
it. Get Derek Corbin started. I want to hear his opinion about secondary titles and why these guys can't win. Why? It's unreal that they would take these guys who are talented workers and just completely... Like, you built a character that's supposed to be like, I've got some bad mood news, I'm a totally tough guy, I'm whipping ass all over the place, and then you can't beat anybody? Like, anybody. Like, Santino's going to beat him next week. Like, oh.
Would you shut the hell up?
This is so entertaining, I got to be honest with you.
Never.
I almost feel bad. Hang on. That sound, of course, does mean, Patrick O'Dowd, we have achieved, yes, and that guest is a good friend back with us for the first time in quite a while, Darren Corbin. Darren, welcome back to the Greg DeMarco Show.
Thank you for having me back. It's been a while.
It's funny because you were welcomed back by almost mid-rant of Patrick O'Dowd, who's really upset that Wade Barrett lost to Dolph Ziggler today.
Tired of Intercontinental Champions losing all the time. Just tired of
it.
Done.
He's just not happy. He's not happy at all. So that's the storm you walked into, Darren Corbin. I think he walked out of it too.
He was like, I don't want to get in the way of this.
No,
I lost there, for a split second there.
That's okay. That's all right. Patrick O'Dowd's just trying to get his anger over.
I'm literally seeing red, dude. I don't know if I can do this interview successfully.
Darren Corbin is a ginger, isn't it? That's why you're seeing red.
You know what? As a fellow ginger, like I take offense to that, man. Why are you gonna go after gingers?
I wasn't going after anyone. I was establishing commonality.
Seeing red, you know. I don't get it, man.
Just establishing commonality. Anyway,
I'll
go first, Patrick O'Dowd. This way you can calm down. How about that?
Okay.
So Darren, I wanted to open up with something that I just absolutely loved, and it's a T-shirt you recently released, and I know you know the one I'm talking about. It's emblazoned with the words "Login Troll Comment Retreat." I love this shirt. Please explain the motivation behind the shirt, and then you know what? Tell people where they can find it.
All right, perfect. The motivation for, obviously, the basis of the shirt kind of goes along with, you know, Brock Lesnar and how often that they've played off that shirt already. I think Ryback's even happened. He's had one. And there's been a couple others that, you know, they've released. I noticed something as I was always kind of sitting watching Raw, and I would kind of do like a fun little commentary behind it. And I noticed that I would hit, like, a couple hot buttons every now and then, and people would jump to conclusions, like, very, very fast. And, one, I was always surprised by what exactly, like, which hot buttons are the ones right now. And it's kind of like a little bit of research for me, because it's just like, oh, really? That ticks you off? But the two most predominant things that led to this shirt, one when the Ultimate Warrior passed away, I had a match way back in 2012. I guess not way back, but seems like a while. And I got to do a match with Pierre Abernathy where he did everything in the style of Hogan, and I did the face paint, all the Warrior stuff, came out, and we did Hogan, Warrior, reenacted all their classic memorable spots from WrestleMania 6. We did this entire match. And ended with a pose down in the ring and all this stuff. And it was one of my most fun matches I had. Now, to skip that into, I posted that picture because I started realizing, like, you know, when Warrior passed away, like, that was, like, the one of the first guys that I had ever seen wrestle when I got into it as a kid. And then I realized that for a lot of people in my generation and so on and so forth, it was. So I thought posting that picture as my profile picture would work. And I had one guy from St. Louis jump in and was like, he said, "Why don't you just let the man freaking rest already, Darren?" And I was like, wow. And then I saw people like the comment, and I was like, I was like, we're a little misled here. So now I got a little offended because my take was, I've been seeing all day people on social media sharing their favorite Warrior stories and like pictures of Ultimate Warrior. And I didn't think anything I did was out of the ordinary. So I posted something back, and I said, and I was like, regardless whatever your personal feelings may be towards me, there's a lot of people online right now that are posting similar, doing similar, showing tributes to the Warrior, talking about their favorite memories of the Warrior. So if you want to attack me for a picture from a match that I did in 2012, then I expect you to go on everything that is social media, and you should be that public defender, that white knight, and I hope you chew out everybody. His following response was, he goes, "Oh, I didn't realize that it was from 2012. In the description of the photo, and I think on the watermark, it says 2012 on it as well. And I was like, no, it is not. Like, I was like, oh, Ultimate Warrior died. So, like, I dressed up and took a picture and put it on my profile. No, it was a picture that I had. And so, yeah, he was like, yeah, no, I thought it was a picture from, you know, like, you just did it. And I was like, oh. Like, no, it actually says in the description 2012. So then he was like, so are you going to bring that character to St. Louis? And I was like, didn't you just say I should let the man freaking rest, and now you want me to do the gimmick as, like, a tribute? Ah. So, of course, like, he started backing up a little bit on that. And then the other thing, too, yeah, so that was the first part. And then, like, shortly after that, I'd posted something where there's a couple things where, like, some fans – jumped on, like, one of the shows I was doing up here for Heavy on Wrestling, and they jumped all over it and whatever. And I said something to them along the lines of, like, you guys really seem to hate me. Why is that? Can you back up your logic? And the one dude's response was, he's like, your matches are terrible and you botch more moves than Sin Cara. My response? I was like, that's funny you say that, because I don't do any moves. So as it all came down, like, his buddies started, like, the initial posters were like, we're just kidding with you. You're a good fan. You know, like, we're big fans of yours, actually. We're just giving you a hard time. I mean, the one dude stuck to it. So I started thinking of all these, like, keyboard warriors and everything. And I was like, you know what? This shirt fits perfectly for, like, how many people jump the gun on social media and they want to, like, lash out. And then it also is, like, super fitting because, like, people just want to be a part of something so bad and without knowing the facts. Or it's like every time, like, a John Cena Undertaker, like, RIP hoax comes out where they're like, oh, Undertaker broke his neck getting ready for WrestleMania, and, like, no one checked the facts. They just put it up there. So I thought it was very fitting, and it's actually really funny because I've had a couple fans, like, buy the shirts at wrestling shows, and when they buy the shirt, then they'll like tag themselves in it at, like, a computer. So I always thought that was kind of funny. Yeah, I thought that was good. Hopefully it will be available soon on my Pro Wrestling Tees store. Hopefully I'll be able to get it up there.
Excellent. Yeah, having uploaded shirts to their system, I know sometimes it takes a little bit of time. That just means they're busy, which is a good thing. So we'll let them have that. So I'm glad you've gotten some good feedback on the shirt, though, and hopefully people will reach out there and buy one of those. And even if they do that, it's still okay to buy that shirt.
Hell yeah, totally fine.
Yeah, as an internet troll, I kind of want one.
That would be perfect. I would love to have you get one because it would be great publicity for me.
You know what? And I'm all about promoting our guests. All for it. So.
Of course.
So speaking of promoting you, you just spent last weekend working for First Wrestling and Wrestlepalooza. Mm-hmm. For those of us who weren't there, tell us what we missed.
All right. So it's actually been nice. We normally it's been like a once or, you know, full twice a year thing with Wrestlepalooza, but the demand has been so high that they decided to do a show like basically 3 months apart, which is, and still the crowd is coming out for it, which is great. First Ave by far is one of my favorite venues, and I think it is an ideal, like, kind of got that underground feel to it, so it's a great atmosphere. It looks like a giant PBR advertisement, which is Cannon's involvement in that. And I think just like the fans are able to kind of cut loose, have a good time. And a big part of it too is we always have a tendency to get a lot of first time fans there. Like a lot of people kind of checking it out for the first time, they hear about it, gets a lot of like kind of slow build, little buzz that has been catching on. So now when we just did the show, it's a burlesque live band. They had Banner Pilot there. And then a couple wrestling matches. And this time was the first time that they did the PBR Brawl, the Battle Royal. And then I teamed up with my old tag partner, Brian Cruz, to battle Zero Gravity. And it's just kind of like a variety show with a lot of character involvement. And that's what the fans really enjoy. And it's not just like a straight wrestling show anymore. It's just a variety. It's like a kind of a fun night to get out and for a lot of people to socially drink and enjoy some music. And for those guys who want to see half-naked girls, they can enjoy that. And a little bit of wrestling on the side sprinkled in.
I see nothing wrong with that. No problems there.
I think it's a good recipe for entertainment.
So now, according to some of the stuff we've seen on the web, it's, First has actually been dubbed as, quote, Minnesota's best-kept secret. You know, why is that and should it be?
I think one of the things about Minnesota especially is a lot of times here in Minnesota, and I'm not trying to knock anyone personally, there is a lot of companies that run here. I would say that there is, I think I counted last time, there's about, no, not semi-regularly, but there's about 9 different companies that could run at any time.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people to run at the same time. But I mean, but First has definitely done a lot to differentiate themselves, and I'm glad that they're running on a more frequent basis. I'm glad the market's there because it's fun, and wrestling's supposed to be fun. And I know that's something that you obviously know very well because you always talk about that. You know, putting the fun back in wrestling, and you drive all those miles, and should definitely have fun. Patrick Goodell, we lost Darren Corbin.
I was like, all of a sudden, I seemed like a very short answer.
Right, and I'm trying to like fill until I can figure out what's going on, and there it is. Caller has
right.
dropped. Caller has dropped. So let me see if we can get him back to the show and see. The Facebook is lighting up as we speak right now. Let's see here. I'm going to give him the number and see if he can call back in. So pulling back the curtain, as Patrick O'Dowd likes to say.
That's right.
That's what
I'm still mad about there. The Intercontinental title. I can talk about that a little bit more if you'd like.
Hashtag
save the IC belt.
Hashtag
let's trend
save.
It, people.
Yeah, good luck with that. Because the people don't care about the Intercontinental title, because if they did...
I know, and it's a damn shame.
Oh, that is... Just because I felt like we should... We should do something like that. Let me just make sure this is Darren Corbin calling. I had to double-check the number real quick. Patrick Adad, there you go. I almost want to pretend like you're a caller, Darren, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to bring you back on the show.
I was going to say, can I call and ask myself a question?
You know what? Let's
interview yourself. Yeah.
We're gonna do that right now. Hang on. We're gonna. All right. Caller from the 218 area code. Do you have a question for Darren Corbin?
Yeah, my question is for Darren Corbin. He was going to start talking about all these Minnesota promotions, and then it got cut off. So I was wondering if anyone he was going to talk about had a hit out on him and then disconnected his phone or took him out at the scenes. Because I know it's a pretty cutthroat business, and I've heard stories of this. So I want to make sure he's okay. Is everything still good? Because I'm very interested. I've been a huge Corbin fan for years. I watch all his videos and everything. So hopefully he's all right.
Awesome. Darren?
Well, I'm okay. My phone just got disconnected. But, yes, as I was kind of going in, I was kind of thinking that, you know, obviously it could be any one of those 10 promotions who work for Sprint that just cut my service. Or maybe it's just Sprint themselves. I've had problems in the past before. So, anyway, as I was going, I'll try and answer for this caller's question, too. There's about 10 promotions that run. There's a local talent pool, and I think a lot of times there's a tendency to get complacent or content with the same amount of talent who's on shows. And even at first, you know, like First Ave and First Wrestling, and there's a lot of the local guys on WrestlePalooza. But I think bringing in new people is what differentiates it. I think this last show we had, you know, obviously Zero Gravity is new to the area. They brought in Rough Crossing and Diablo the Clown. In previous shows, they've had El Chivas Blanco, Chuck Taylor. Even a while ago, Johnny Gargano showed up on one of the shows. They had Colt Cabana this time. So I think the fact that, like, new people come in, and it's not just, like, wrestlers that are strictly, you know, like, for example, like a Honky Tonk Man, who people know from WWE, it's a kind of a different character where it kind of feels like they've been discovered. Because I'm not sure if anyone has been familiar with, like, Yabo the Clown up in Minnesota, but he was very warmly received because it was so different. It was unique. And characters like Wildcat and Yellow Dog have also really gotten to be many crowd favorites to the point where the crowd goes, barks and meows back and forth, which is highly entertaining.
That is outstanding. That is awesome. So did you get to reunite with your longtime tag team partner, of course, Eric Cannon, during this show?
I mean, we both had other stuff that we were doing on the show. And obviously me teaming with Ryan, reliving the North Star Express, kind of a Minnesota staple. And then he had his hands full with, 6% body fat Rob James. But at the end of our match with Zero Gravity, he came out and, like, congratulated both teams for our match that we put on. Now, on top of that, he's also has a lot of commitments for, you know, PBR and being the spokesperson there. And, like, even now the posters have him for the tall boys, for PBR tall boys. So, really, when I go into First Ave, even if I wanted to avoid him, there's no way I could get around it. I would see his face everywhere. But, you know, every now and then, like, we both enjoy singles, we enjoy teaming. Like, this weekend here coming up for Chikara, like, we'll both be involved in tag action, you know, and doing Team ACDC. And then the week prior to First Ave, we were able to win our first tag team title as a team from Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae at Dreamwave.
Oh, I didn't. Wow. So Candice and Joey did not hold those Dreamwave titles very long. So you guys took it away.
No, we cut them off at 24-hour champions. So they joined
crushing
Kane.
The dreams.
So yeah,
crushing the dreams of many a wrestling fan.
That's high company there. Kane,
that is.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Very, very high company, as you said. So talk about you were a part of Chikara in the past, and now you get to go back. How excited are you to return to Chikara?
I always love coming back to Chikara. Chikara was one of the first companies that I got the chance to wrestle for, and I always feel like I'm kind of like an and I feel like it's a family, but I feel like it's an extended family for sure with us, because being so far, Minnesota, away from Philly, you know, home base, can be tough. But now with Chikara traveling more, coming out to the Midwest, obviously Cannon and I are no strangers to traveling, so it's nice when it can, like, interlink and line back up. And it's good to see everyone that we've missed over the times. And, like, a lot of the guys that when I started coming out to Chikara was 05, a lot of the familiar faces are out there still. And so it's really good to kind of hop back in. And I always feel like the Chikara crowd is one of the more receptive and, like, fun and willing to play along. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, every time I come back, I always – I'm getting questions all the time on Twitter and Facebook about, do we finally get to see slow motion in Detroit, or do we get to see slow motion again, or will this happen here? You know, like, so I like the fact that it's kind of ingrained in the fans' heads, and it's always, like – they're very welcoming, and it's always fun to come back.
Gotcha. Well, I know people will be happy to see slow motion, including our very own good friend, Harry Roberts, who saw our recap show and was hoping that we would ask you about slow motion. So there you go. You brought it up yourself, which I think is greatly, greatly appreciated. Patrick, ask Darren about some wrestling.
Well, I feel bad because I'm just going to – I'm talking around in circles today, Darren. So I know you watch the product. We know you follow Raw. My big thing that we were talking about right before you came on the show, I don't know if you were listening at all, is this habit that it seems that seems to occur where either the individual holding either the Intercontinental title or the United States Championship, for the most part, seems to win the belt and then go on a ridiculous losing streak that seems to have no rhyme and reason. So I want to hear from you. What sort of role do you feel like secondary titles really play anymore? Are they necessary? Is the WWE wasting them?
All right. So this is actually, it's kind of funny to bring this up. I've had this conversation recently, and I've got a different perspective. I have always been a fan of secondary titles.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Intercontinental title. I remember growing up watching that. I remember the U.S. title. And my deal was, it took me a few years, because when I started watching young, I didn't realize that, like, for example, the Intercontinental title was normally the number one contender to the title.
Yes!
So it never made sense to me, for example, like, why was so-and-so the Intercontinental champion or the U.S. champion, when I found this out, that is. And this point was actually brought up recently on a road trip. And so I'm not trying to take credit for it, but the point is very well proven. What stops that guy from, when he loses a title match then, like if he were to face be the number one contender and then lose, why can't he still has the belt, so he's still the number one contender, so why can't he just hop back in line? Or why is it that he's the champion and number one contender, but somebody else hops in? So that was always one thing where I enjoyed seeing a secondary importance on matches, and that's why, like, when Rock and Triple H were having their feud over the Intercontinental title, I thought that was great because it gave a little bit of extra, and that's what I think they should do. But I always enjoyed titles. I'm still, like, a huge TV title fan where the rules, you know, 10 minutes, you have that, and, like, there's always something, like, you're guaranteed that title had to be defended on TV programming. So when there's always, like, something different about it, like a hardcore title or light heavyweight title, cruiserweight title, I always kind of got into it because it was something different. But I think also in the sense here when we go, like, when we had the WWE title, the Intercontinental title, the World title, the U.S. title, the significance, I feel, gets lost. And every random moment they would trace it back and be like, oh, the Intercontinental title goes all the way back to Pat Patterson, and these people have held it, and look where they are now. But, you know, it's like, it's one thing to be like all these Hall of Famers like Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels, and they've made their career, but no one's like, you know, and that Ezekiel Jackson guy had it for a while.
Ahmed Johnson.
But, yes. So, like, you have all these, you know, these matches that have been kind of just thrown to the side. So my deal is I think, like, the Intercontinental title, they still rely on the fact that it's like, this guy is good enough to win that belt. But then they try and make a big match where it's like title for title. Well, none of the titles are on the line. And it just devalues, like, the Intercontinental title or what the importance would be, or, like, somebody gets an upset. Well, do they even get a title shot, or do they just get a victory, or is it just, like, a stepping stone? So I feel like it's not really ever established, and that's the part that bothers me. Like, it should be a big deal when somebody beats the champion. They should get a title shot. But I think I heard you say something like, you never know, like, Santino Marella could win it, you know, next, like, could win a match next week and beat, like, Wade Barrett. And what's really going to come out of that? Well, nothing. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Even if he gets that match, he'll probably not follow it up, or he'll just be jobbed out. So I kind of miss the times when, I mean, they had, like, at least an importance, because I feel like it should always either be defended or no one should be beating that person. And actually, funny that you, Santino, one of the last times I remember being fully into the Intercontinental title is when Santino was doing, like, the Honkameter.
I loved that.
When he actually had a goal and he was trying to, and he was counting down the weeks, it made you wait every week for that Intercontinental title match. And that was fun. That was different. And, like, he was trying to hang on to win, so he had to win to keep it. So I thought that's when winning actually was important again, rather than it's just a bump in the road. So that is actually kind of my deal with those secondary titles, is there's nothing really separating them now.
Yeah.
And on top of not being separated, there's no punishment if you lose or really win a match.
Well, and I think that one of the points that I really appreciate they brought up there is there was a time when, there were three belts, really, that floated around the WWE. You had the world champion, you had the Intercontinental champion, and then you had the tag champs. And one of the things that I used to struggle with when we started to get the flag, when we had, like, the European champion, the light heavyweight, there was the hardcore, like, all these belts were floating around. It became a very easy sort of storyline crutch or device. When I go back, and the WWE Network is great for this, by the way. If you go back and you go and you watch shows, people actually feuded over something more than like a belt, and it went on for a really, really long time because you didn't have to have that sort of crutch to hang on to. And then it became a lot harder for the champ to lose because, like you said, it meant something. Like, there were only three belts. If you were holding one of those belts, that meant you were a pretty big deal. Like, my, I think the height of when I was watching wrestling was when Bret Hart carried it, and Shawn Michaels, and Mr. Perfect at the time. And those guys were all, like, ridiculously talented, and they didn't lose. Like, you didn't just lose arbitrarily on your weekly show. And that's what I think is really frustrating, especially when I look at, so it's almost like it turns into the opposite of a momentum builder for a character, because you look at, like, you look at Wade Barrett, and like I said, he was sort of running roughshod after this Bad News Barrett sort of thing that had been reset. He wins the Intercontinental title, wins it in a tournament in impressive fashion, and then he's immediately taking on, like, this strange losing streak. And even to people I like, he lost to Dolph Ziggler this week. Like, I love Dolph Ziggler. But he just won this belt, he's got all this momentum, and now suddenly he's losing. It doesn't jive. It's weird, and it's, for me, it's hard to watch. Like, my favorite WWE collection is they did the History of the Intercontinental Title set, and I watch that repeatedly.
I think I have that. I'm pretty positive I own that one, that one DVD too that they did that was just, like, a while ago, the Intercontinental History. It's also, I kind of want to throw it out there, too. It's the same thing as when a guy wins Money in the Bank and loses all their matches and then magically cashes in, and it's,
Yeah, I remember Patrick O'Dowd talking about that at length, too. It's just, it's
happened to our boy Dolph.
It did. It happened to Dolph. It happened to Sandow.
I tracked their losing streaks. That's how I remember.
Did.
I tracked their records. I went and followed it.
Well,
Sandow lost something like 50 matches in a row. It was ridiculous.
And he actually, and contrary to popular belief, Patrick O'Dowd also has a real job.
I do.
Just wanted to point that out. So, awesome. Darren, we are short on time, but we're going to have to do this again, even if we do it again soon. Maybe we won't wait like a year and a half, like I did this.
No. We'll make this work. We'll definitely make it work.
Yeah, this is fun, and I like doing that. But I do want to make sure people know, because you don't just do this and come on here and tweet and everything. You even put out videos, highly entertaining videos that people can see. Let them know where they can find those and what they can expect out of them, and then, you know, the Twitter and everything else too.
Yeah, I have my own YouTube channel that kind of contains all my videos, and it's just Darren Corbin TV is normally how that works. I just actually uploaded a Wrestling Reflections outtakes video from one of the last videos we did for You Get What You Pay For 2. The Wrestling Is Network also features my Wrestler Observing Movie Letter that I've been doing under there. And then plus I have promo hype list stuff that always comes out every now and then. And so there's just a variety. And then if people follow me on Twitter at Darren Corbin, and if also people find me on Facebook, I have a fan page, just Darren Corbin fan page. Most of the videos, my schedule, and anything new or exciting that's coming up is normally posted on there. So that's kind of the best way to get to see everything that I'm doing.
Gotcha. Very cool. I'm gonna throw this out there. You may not even be available, but how would you like to preview a pay-per-view with us next week?
Is that the that would be the money in the bank, right?
Yes, yeah, predictions, we complain, we do a lot of good stuff.
Ah, this might be fascinating. We could maybe make... Now, are you saying would we do it the day of the pay-per-view?
No, we would do it's Tuesday. It's on Tuesday.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah, so, okay, that would work. That makes sense. That might be doable.
Okay, check the calendar. Let me know. We got plenty of time to tweet and let people know. And we like to try different things on this show. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And I think it could be fun. So we could have an eclectic group, Patrick. Maybe we'll get Sue Young on here, and we'll have.
Could be fun. We're gonna go round table. That could be dangerous.
We'll make it work.
Oh yeah, that could be bad.
We can do it. We can make it work. It'll be fine. So, excellent. Well, definitely, Darren, keep up the great work. We will definitely do this again really soon. And hopefully the travels continue to be well. And we'll bring you back possibly even next week.
Awesome. Well, let's see if we can make that work. And that would be a lot of fun if we could do some predictions and maybe do some login and trolling and commenting and see what we can stir up.
Sounds good. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Here we go. Patrick O'Dowd, the clock has been destroyed.
Yeah, I kind of blew it out of the water there with that intercontinental title thing, man. I'm still, like, I don't even know if I can effectively, she's going to ask a question, going to be like, intercontinental title. That's the answer.
That's going to be your answer, Allie Parker.
Tito Santana.
Your question.
Circa 1985 as the Intercontinental Champion.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's bring Allie Parker on the air. Let's have some fun.
Red tie.
Really do appreciate you coming on.
No problem. But my question is, where's this Allie Parker chick? You know, I saw a picture today online. She's looking pretty hot. So where's she at?
Tony Massaro.
Well, you know, you were speaking about Vegas a little bit earlier with that hot, hot girl. She's so humble, by the way.
Red tie. Thanks for having me, Greg, but I need you to do me a favor.
What's that?
Say what's up to Allie for me, all right?
Of course, that music does, Patrick O'Dowd, mean that we are joined by DeMarquette Lucky Number 7 herself and the hostess, I don't know, whichever you choose to be, of Trivia Time with Allie Parker. Allie Parker.
Hi, I hate you for keep playing that thing. We need to get a new intro. I hate it.
Oh. It's really funny. Right out of the gate, man. She went after you.
I even said, like, in the private chat that Patrick and I used, I was like, she's going to be pissed. That's exactly what I said. That's why it's all private chat, but we sit here and talk about what we chat about.
embrace the compliment, Allie. It's a compliment. There's
I know. It's just embarrassing.
Yes, somebody finds you attractive is embarrassing. I want that embarrassment.
Oh, wouldn't we all? Excellent. So we are here to play our game, a very exciting game.
Yay.
Trivia Time with Allie Parker. And this is not just any edition of Trivia Time with Allie Parker. Allie has worked very hard and has lined up an amazing group of contestants for this week. A star-studded group of contestants for this week's edition of Trivia Time with Allie Parker. So, Allie, do you want me to do the honors of bringing them on? Do you want to introduce your contestants? How would you like us to do this?
You can introduce them. How about that?
Okay. I can do that. The contestant number one, and I've got to check the phone numbers here and make sure I don't introduce one person and bring on the other, because that would just be really bad. But contestant number one is world-renowned, world-famous wrestling superstar, probably more renowned overseas than in America, which is just criminal. Somebody who has been with us here on the Greg DeMarco Show in the past. He's the Open, the Freedom Gate champion in Dragon Gate USA. He's the Open, the Brave Gate champion in Dragon Gate, and he is just recently won New Japan's. You have to do the research, Patrick O'Dowd. It was either the Super J Cup or the Best of Super Juniors. I think it's the Best of the Super Juniors. He can probably tell us if I ask him. But that
like
is, of course...
He's coming on the show, just ask
him. I know, that's true. That is, of course, the future of flight himself, Ricochet. Ricochet, welcome back to the Greg DeMarco Show.
Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
No problem. We screwed up at the end. So which one is it? Because I know there's been the two big tournaments in Japan. Which one did you just win?
I just won Best of the Super Junior.
Perfect. That's what I thought.
But I believe the Super J used to be back whenever it was just Japan Pro Wrestling before they split
right.
up, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you know the whole history there.
But I think it used to be that, and then
once it split up, they started doing Best of the Super Junior.
Right. Excellent. Well, and congratulations. I mean, that's huge for you to walk away with that, you know, first American talent to win that in years. And already, you know, successfully still competing in Dragon Gate. And what was it the Open, the Dream Gate Championship? You just won too many
titles.
Yeah,
I won that in March.
Gotcha. Well,
I won that one on March 2nd. I won that one.
Too many damn belts. That's all. You basically won every title. In Dragon Gate.
I've won all of them in Dragon Gate, yeah. I've won in Dragon Gate or Dragon Gate USA. I've told all of them.
Awesome. But here's the funny part about that, is Ricochet doesn't come alone, because Ricochet is here to play Trivia Time with Allie Parker, and that means he has an opponent, Patrick O'Dowd, and that opponent is a guy many of you have seen on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. He is Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, easy for me to say. He's their bad dude. He is a member of the stable Vermin, and that is, of course, Tito Escondido. Tito, thank you for joining us, and welcome for the very first time ever to the Greg DeMarco Show.
What's up, guys? I'm here to win this trivia contest. What exactly do I get when I win? Like,
that's
what's
the funny
prize?
Thing about this contest. We Allie has
adulation on Twitter. Like,
that's right.
Because I've been seeing Allie Parker walk around the locker room, and I think I should get a bite of those sweet buns if I win this trivia contest.
Oh, goodness. There we go. That is outstanding.
Here we go.
We really need to get Red Titus back on the show, too, now.
Maybe. I'm sure that can be arranged.
That could be my new intro right there.
A trivia time. I'll just add it on to the end of what we already have.
By the way, who's stealing a car? what's going on there?
That's me. I'm outside the gym, man.
Oh, nice.
There you see. Look, that's dedication. To the craft. So, excellent. We're gonna do a couple questions for each contestant here as we get started, and so are you gonna let them pick Allie, or how are you gonna work that?
Yes. Okay. So I'm going.
Hang
to
on. Wait.
Each...
We can't. We gotta start the game show off right.
Trivia time with Allie Park.
And just because Patrick loves
okay.
it.
Okay.
There you go. This
Are
your
we
background.
Ready now?
The one that's low. Yeah. Go for it.
Am I allowed to start?
Please.
can I go? Okay. All right. So, boys, this is what we're going to do. I'm a bad dude. Okay.
Not a boy.
Oh, boy. Okay, this can be a handful. Okay, so we're going to have, I'm going to ask two questions. I'm going to start with Ricochet. You have the option of choosing from the Attitude Era, Classic WWE, or Modern Era.
I don't know. Let's go Modern right now.
Modern, okay. So I'm going to ask you two questions, and whoever gets the most right out of the two wins. So these two are for Ricochet, and then I will move on to Tito next.
We'll see.
Okay. All right, I'm going to give you a diva question just for fun.
Oh, God.
What former WWE diva appeared in several GoDaddy commercials that aired during Super Bowl?
Oh, shit. I couldn't tell you, to be honest with you.
Does any of the hosts know, by chance? Anybody know?
Oh, yeah, that's Candace Michelle.
That's true. Candace Michelle.
Couldn't have told you.
Someone in the chat room got that right for you.
Really?
They're trying to help you out. Okay, next question.
Oh, wow.
See,
yeah,
we did
say, Allie, yesterday we did decide, actually, that these guys could use a lifeline if they wanted to. So we got to remember that for next time.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Okay, so.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well.
So that was Ricochet's lifeline. He gets it. He gets a point.
Okay, he gets a point. Okay. Okay.
Oh, dude. You guys are cheating already. You guys are cheating already.
I'll take it.
All right. Okay, let's see. This is under big events. What superstar won the Elimination Chamber match to face Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania 26, I think, for the World Heavyweight Championship?
Oh, crap. Was WrestleMania 26? Oh, man.
I think it was 28.
XXIX.
It might have been 29. That's pretty odd. I think it was
29. Okay.
I don't know. CM Punk, I want to say.
Oh. He lost his helpline, right?
Huh?
He didn't want to help him?
Yeah. Well,
okay,
he didn't
use
his lifeline.
That's incorrect. The answer is Jack Swagger.
Okay, that would be, yeah.
Should we go one more for them, Greg, or no?
I think Tito needs a turn.
All right. I was just trying to help. Okay, Tito, it's your turn. You have Ricochet won 1 point, so now you have to be 1 point.
Okay.
You can choose from the Attitude Era, the Classic WWE, or the Modern Era.
I'm going to go Classic Era.
Ooh, that's my era. That's my stuff.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
This is Superstar Bio. After Earthquake killed Jake the Snake Roberts, Pet Snake Damien, what was the name of the bigger snake Roberts started bringing to the ring?
Damien was the first one, and Lucifer was the second one.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah!
There's no cheers. Okay,
that was good. That was good.
I
can tell you right now, I would not have been a good lifeline. I did not know.
I would have been an excellent lifeline.
There you go.
Good. How do you not know that one, dude?
I'm sorry.
That one was pretty tough.
You're fired, Greg.
Okay.
All right. So
this is Tito for the win now, Al. It's Tito for the win.
Oh. Yeah. I'm kind of nervous right now.
I'm doing really bad at hosting. I should be saying for the win. Okay. This is your chance. Big event.
Can I still use my lifeline?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Okay. So, who re-entered the 1997 Royal Rumble when no officials saw his elimination and went on to win the match illegally?
Oh, that one's easy.
That's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yep.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that was crazy.
I'm pretty pumped right now. I just won.
There you go. Good stuff.
We have a winner.
Tito Eskin is the big winner. Ricochet, thank you so much for playing. Ricochet gets the take-home edition of Trivia Time with Ali Parker. I don't really know what that is, but
the take-home edition. Oh, geez.
Yeah,
I think I won. So I should get the take-home edition as well. So I get to take her home, right?
Oh, man.
See, I kind of wondered if it wouldn't be like when Shawn Michaels won the Royal Rumble sort of situation where he got, like, a Pam Anderson escort to the ring, something like that. Like, you got to think about these prizes, Allie.
Now, Patrick O'Dowd, you can't. We'll talk to the Championship Wrestling from Hollywood Bookers and see. I'm sure they will honor the results of this.
Contests were won, sir.
I'm sure they're real pleased.
So,
Ricochet,
when do I collect my prize?
we will cover
that. I wanted them sweet buns.
Oh, my God.
So I just muted them. I'm sorry. Ricochet, everybody can follow you. King Ricochet on Twitter, is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Awesome. Well, best of luck and continued success to you.
Well, thank you guys
much. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
There we go. So, all right, there we go. So, Tito's back now, but Allie, you went so far as to get, you know, a round two opponent for Tito.
Whoa! I wasn't ready for this.
So
who is
Allie,
that?
I'll let you surprise the people, Allie. Who did you arrange? Who is holding right now? And may have already tweeted and spilled the beans just a little bit. But who have you arranged to be with the round two opponent?
To go against Tito?
We can put her against Tito, yeah.
Okay. Well, I have none other than the most beautiful Shelly Martinez. Are you
That's
there?
That's right. Only on the Great DeMarcus show. Bring in all these those people.
I'm
for
not
a game
great
show.
At intro.
Shelly,
great.
Welcome
to
the program.
Phenomenal intro.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I love the
Please
music,
welcome.
By the way.
Well, you can't have a game show without the game show music, Shelly. I mean, it's just appropriate. So we had to do that. Former WWE, TNA, and of course, radio even superstar Shelly Martinez. Thank you for coming on the program.
Well, it was only appropriate that I go against Tito because Tito's actually one of my road buddies, so this is perfect.
What's up, Amiga?
Hey,
bad dude.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to beat you at this, Shelly. I'm not going to show you any mercy.
You know what? I'm like a bad wrestler. Like, I don't really know a whole lot about things I'm supposed to, so I'm pretty sure you'll beat me, but it's okay.
Okay.
All right. Are we ready to start?
Let's do it.
Yeah, go for it.
You ready? Okay. So this is going to be a lightning round because we are kind of running out of time. So we're going to do one question each, and if there's a tiebreaker, we'll go to one more question. So I'm going to start off with Shelly, since you're the fresh face on the game. You have the choice between the Attitude Era, Classic WWE, or Modern Era?
I'm going to go with the Attitude Era.
Ooh, okay.
Woman after my own heart, Patrick O'Dowd.
Look at you. Flattery gets you nowhere.
Hey, you know what? I'm trying to book a guest out of this, Patrick O'Dowd. I'm trying to get her to come back.
Okay. Well, you
I'm
keep playing
shameless.
Nice.
Being shameless about it right now.
Shameful is more like it.
Not shameless, but shameless.
All right, let Allie ask the question.
Hang on, the music stopped. I gotta bring the music back. Wait, here we go.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Okay, go.
Okay, all right. So this is gonna be a diva question. at Thunder Championships. What diva accompanied Chris Jericho to the ring for his defense of the Undisputed Championship at WrestleMania X8?
Oh. Was it Trish Stratus?
That's incorrect. Do you want to use
the lifeline? I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you want to use a lifeline? One of the hosts can help you?
Sure, let's do it.
You got to pick who it would be, though. You got to pick the lifeline.
Either Greg or Patrick.
You know what? I'm going to have to go with Greg because it's the Greg DeMarco Show, the Greg DeMarco Show!
That's perfect. That's
wow.
Am I right?
I love it.
I am going to advise you to possibly change your answer to Stephanie McMahon.
I think I'm going to change my answer to Stephanie McMahon.
That is correct.
Yay!
Hey!
Yay!
You guys are cheaters.
Okay.
You got a lifeline too, man. Like, what?
You get to choose from Attitude, Classic, or Modern.
I'll go Attitude.
Attitude's always the hardest for me. I don't like Attitude.
All right, then I'm going to change to Classic.
Classic, there you go. Okay, all right. What two-time Intercontinental Champion relaunched his career in 1991 as El Matador?
Oh, that's Chio Santana at LGG.
That's the namesake.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Tito missed that one, I was really going to, like, judge you, man. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, if I missed that one, I think I'd go hang myself.
Well, I don't know. Oh.
Soon.
Hey, guys, too soon.
Okay, so we're going to have a tiebreaker. And I guess whoever just names it first is the winner. But I guess we've never had a tiebreaker before, so here we go. This is going to be under Classic. And the question is, what Hall of Famer and previous tag team champion beat Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental title at SummerSlam 1991?
Ugh. Bret Hart.
Yep. You win.
I had no idea. Not 1%.
The only reason I know that is because
I have that on VHS. I remember recording that.
We literally just talked about it earlier on the show. Like,
oh, really?
I went off on the Intercontinental title earlier today.
For a while. Yeah. And you still see that privately.
I'm still angry.
Yeah.
I love that belt. I love that belt.
Yeah, he's not a happy camper at all.
Man.
So Tito is the big winner.
I applaud that because he is my amigo, so I applaud that.
Thanks,
aww,
amigo. Appreciate
such good
it.
Sports we have.
I know. They're
That's
such
so
a,
nice.
They would shake hands if they were in the same place, but they're not, so they can't. And then they would have horns. Group hug. So, Tito, let everybody know where they can find you on the Twitter or wherever you prefer people to find you.
@BDFatTito. Find me on Facebook. Tito Escondido, you know, I post everything up on all my scheduled shows right up there. Check it out.
Excellent. And I'll get the information today. We'll bring you back. We'll give you the actual interview treatment and bring you back on the program. How does that sound?
Oh, you guys are so sweet. Thank you.
It's the least we could do since you didn't really win anything. So.
I heard Patrick's pretty good at this game, but I just went 4-for-4. And I'm pretty sure I could crush him, too.
Oh, the gauntlet thrown.
You know what? Hang on a second. We'll let that happen. It'll be a bonus time for people, but we'll let that happen. Shelly, thank you so much for coming on and playing the game.
Thanks for having
thank
me.
Thank you, Shelly. I really appreciate it.
I'll come back anytime. Maybe next time I'll be more prepared.
Quite all
we'll
right.
We'll get you some good lifelines.
I know. Always go with the lifeline, people. Always.
maybe we can have you and Juice go against each other.
There you go.
I think so. I think we should.
I'll lower it back down there. You guys should come on. We have had couples on this show before, and you guys would be a lot of fun. I know you have your own show, so it's a little bit different. But, yeah, we would love to bring you guys on.
I'm down. He's kind of stuck up, so you're going to have to ask him.
I can find the tweet where he once told me he would come on the show. Like it's probably a year ago, and I never followed up on it, so it's my fault, but that's okay. It's as Patrick and I established earlier, everything's my fault, so it's all right.
It is always your fault.
Excellent. Well, Shelly, we appreciate it.
He's gotten more stuck up, though. Okay, well, you guys have fun.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, Patrick. So the gauntlet was thrown, and we can't. Just
I know. I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to figure out where this reputation come from. Was we've actually split when we've taken this on. Like I won 1 week, and you won the first week, if I do recall.
I thought I won every time, but
I think I know you won the first time. I think at the very least we tied the second time, and neither one of us missed a question. So anyway. But the gauntlet was thrown at me.
Maybe.
I'm willing to go for it. I'm willing to step up and bomb the Attitude Era. So
if you're scared, you could just, you know, stay down and just declare the champion.
There's no fear.
Oh,
no, there's no fear here. Like I've been called out. Like the gauntlet was thrown. I'm here. I have to come back next week. I gotta face my adoring fan. That one fan that I have.
The one fan, nice.
And that's my mother. Who? Thanks, Mom, for listening. I love you very much. But anyway, let's get this rolling. Let's do this.
Okay, I'm gonna look for something hard because I feel like you guys
too many jokes.
All too easy. You chose Attitude. Is that correct?
No. If you're gonna let me choose, I choose Classic first.
Okay. We'll go with Classic, and this is going to be the lightning round as well. Just one question back and forth. Big events. What Hall of Fame announcer made his WWE debut at WrestleMania 9?
Jim Ross.
Yep. Oh, man.
That's one for Patrick.
Okay.
I'm a little nervous now.
Okay, Tito, what do you choose?
I don't know. You pick it for me.
Okay. All right. Going to be an Attitude.
I mean, you're getting a diva question. You know that, right? That's what Allie does.
Oh, you know what? I'd probably get it right because I'm a big diva fan.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
No, it's not diva because I don't see any diva questions in front of me. So, no. This is under championships, under Attitude. What superstar defeated The Rock for the WWE Championship in a 60-minute Iron Man match at Judgment Day 2000?
Defeated who?
The Rock.
That's Triple H.
Yep. Wow, this is going to be a good battle.
Oh!
Yeah!
Tie game.
I cannot be beat.
Okay.
I cannot be beat.
Okay. So, Patrick, you want to keep going? Would you like to challenge again?
You can keep throwing questions at me. I'll surrender to, you can ask me a diva question if you want. Ask me whatever.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to start throwing them all out. I'm not going to give you guys choices anymore.
Fair enough.
Well, and this is a diva question. Here you go. What woman won the WWE Women's Championship when the title was revived in December
1993? Ooh.
Damn.
I know it, too.
Oh, see, listen to me talk. This, I'm screwed here because I don't know. 93, that's a little about when I quit watching for a while. So, I don't know it. I couldn't even throw a guess out there.
Okay, that's Alundra Blaze.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it was Alundra Blaze.
That was
hard for me, too.
I remember her. I remember her returning to Nitro and tossing the title out later. That's about what I remember. When she came back as Medusa.
I didn't watch back then, so when I saw that, my brother gave me that question. I didn't know that either. But that was, I don't even remember her. Okay. Tito, you ready?
Oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot. I gotta bring this back. There we go.
Oh, thank you. I'm not good without my music. I'm nothing without that music, you know.
I think you make
the music makes the game.
What?
So I think the music makes the game.
Right? Okay. Tito, your question is, what superstar won the first Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood in your house in October 1997?
Shawn Michaels.
Damn it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Damn it.
Yeah. What's up, Greg DeMarco? I'm the best at this game. I just went 6-for-6. No one could stop me. I'm the baddest dude in professional wrestling, and there ain't nothing nobody could do about it.
Greg, you go against him one round.
One round? All right.
One round.
All right. We're going to have to make it happen.
Okay, I'm letting you choose because I don't remember what your weakness is, and I don't know which one to pick for you.
Let's see here. So, I mean, I'm trying to decide which one. I don't know. Patrick, you choose. You choose my category, Patrick O'Dowd.
Well, if you want to mess with Greg, he's probably weakest in the classic era if we had to really pick it out, and that's even a tough sell.
Maybe I should make it easy for Greg.
No, you don't do that. You pull the classic.
I win or lose fair or square. There's no make it easy for. Okay. If I lose to Tito, there's no shame in losing to the guy who's gone 6-0. Like, that's Goldberg-esque.
Yeah, who's next is what I'm asking.
Oh, man. Okay, this one was hard. Me and my brother were playing this earlier, and I could not believe, I never even heard of it. So this one's interesting, and I think maybe Patrick would get this. But, okay, Greg, this is your question, and this is in classic. What was the name of the tag team formed by the Big Boss Man and Akeem?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Twin Towers.
Twin Towers. The Dream.
Yeah. I never knew that. I never even heard of that.
Yeah, Akeem the African Dream.
Yeah.
Even though he's probably from Minnesota or something.
Yeah.
No one really pitched the modern era. No one really. I would think Greg and Patrick would know all about the modern era. This game was made last year, so still pretty fresh.
Actually, I blew a modern era question the first time we played this game. Blew a really easy one.
I don't know. I'm not good at modern because I don't watch that much. I know classics better. All right, Tito, pick your.
Let's go classic.
Classic. All right. Some of these are pretty easy. And I think this guy needs a harder one. Oh, and this one's fun, and I remember this, so I think you should get it. Oh, but this one's great. Okay, this one may be hard, but it's fun, and I like it. Okay, this question's good. Superstar bio. Who shocked WWE fans and enraged Jake the Snake Roberts by coming to the ring in tights with Roberts' wife Cheryl's likeness on them?
Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yes.
Of course.
That's so cool. Like, this guy's crazy. I love it. I love that. All right, we get tiebreaker.
I think Patrick was jumping in. Patrick?
Just to follow up, Rick Rude, Hall of Fame, yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
See? Absolutely.
Wait. Let's just do this now, then. Mickey James, Hall of Fame, yes or no?
No. Did you say who? Mickey James?
Yeah.
I said no.
Look who's Allie, right today.
I know. Allie said no. Allie agrees with you, Patrick.
Twitter agrees with me.
Twitter was split.
True. We all both people.
Yes.
All right, guys. I'm going to ask one last question for Greg and Tito, and whoever says it first, because this is an easy one, wins.
Okay.
Are you ready? Are you guys ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Here we go. who served as Shawn Michaels' bodyguard when he challenged Diesel for the WWE Championship?
China. Nah.
Yeah. Whoever yelled that first one.
That was me.
You
win this
round.
That's right. There'll be a rematch, I'm sure. There will definitely.
Well, that was fun.
That was good. Tito, excellent job. I hope everybody's impressed.
Well played,
with you.
Mr. Tito.
Wrestling Acumen did
Thank
a great
you.
Job.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So when can I expect my prize? Is this like something that happens at the next Championship Wrestling from Hollywood? Am I going to have to wait? Are you going to send the buns right on over? Or how does this work?
We'll have to discuss with, like, the whole group on what we will do for guests and prizes. We'll get back to you.
This is a low budget affair.
Okay.
It's a low budget affair.
Okay, all right.
You mean a no budget affair?
Maybe that, too. So,
cool.
Excellent.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We'll do it again. I'll be in touch. We'll bring you on. We'll give you the actual interview that you deserve.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Anytime. There we go. Allie Parker, you've outdone yourself.
It was fun.
It was fun. It's exactly what this is. It's exactly who I even tweeted. Who else would have host a game show with Ricochet, Tino Escondido, and Shelly Martinez? No one. That's who. No one, Patrick.
Right. That's
going to
be the plug.
Special.
You never know who's going to be the contestant, right?
That's
true.
Right.
Truly, I mean, it even surprises the host sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. That's happened.
I'm going through the rundown and in the chat. I'm like, Shelly Martinez? Really? Wow. It's a trivia show. All right. Win.
Hey,
go
man,
Allie Parker.
That's what makes this thing unique. So, good stuff. Allie, remind everyone. I know you got some stuff coming up. I know you've been promoting on Facebook. Where can people see you next, and where can they find you?
Okay, my Twitter is at the Allie Parker, which is TheAllie Parker, Parker. And Facebook is facebook.com/AllieParkerWrestling. You can pretty much find everything on those. A lot of stuff coming up. I'll be in Bell Gardens, California for like the whole weekend, last weekend of this month, wrestling at Brian Kendrick's school, Santino Brothers, and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And then I'll be up in the West Coast Wrestling Connection in Oregon the weekend after that in July. So we got a lot of stuff coming up. So, yeah, I'm super excited.
Good stuff. Well, we can't wait to do it again.
Me too. I cannot wait.
All right, well, we'll talk to you soon.
Spicy dips
I can't imagine who you're going to get next time. I just can't imagine.
No, me either. I can't imagine either.
What other people who have turned us down in the past can come on because of the video game show? That's what I want to know. I'm trying to think of who's turned us down that you have access to, and we'll bring them on the game show. You know, it'll be really fun, Patrick O'Dowd, and I'll put Allie in a horrible position. We should get Dave Marquez on the show.
Oh, jeez.
That's my thing.
That would be very interesting. That would be a very bad
thing. I'm going to go for it and ask him. I'm going to ask him. I thought about asking him already.
There you go.
Nice.
See? Awesome. All right, Allie, we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Bye, Allie.
You too. Oh, goodness. Patrick O'Dowd. You're going to have to face it. You're
addicted to love. Red Tide.
I really do appreciate you coming on.
No problem, but my question is, where's this Allie Parker chick? You know, I saw a picture today online. She's looking pretty hot, so where's she at?
Tony Vassero.
Shut up!
Oh, Patrick O'Dowd, that was... It couldn't work anywhere else with anyone else hosting. No one else would get away with it.
True. True, but we do.
We do get away with it. Patrick O'Dowd, can I complain about TNA? Do we have time for me to complain about TNA?
Have a little time to complain about TNA.
Okay. All right, Patrick, we're going to pretend that we did the entire No One Gets Out Alive segment where you read the point and then I complain about it. But obviously, you can only read the last point.
The last point. Fine. I'm so scared of this one. So this past Sunday at their Slammiversary pay-per-view, TNA booked a last man standing match, but they called it a Texas death match. Go.
I mean, come on. Okay. All right, here's the issue that I have, and I've talked about this on Twitter. I'm really upset that Dave Lagana and John, whatever the hell his last name is, and even Dixie Carter cannot reply and at least block me or something for bringing this up so many times and calling you out. A Texas death match goes back to at least the 70s in Dallas, Texas, for World Class, where Slammiversary took place. A Texas death match, Patrick O'Dowd, is simple. Your goal is to, number one, pin your opponent. Then there are two variations of the match, one where you have a 30-second rest period and one where you do not. Then your opponent has to answer the 10 count. And that was like a big feud ender back in. That's a Texas death match. Help me remember, Patrick O'Dowd, when Bully Ray wrestled Ethan Carter III at Slammiversary in their Texas Death Match, how many pinfalls took place over the course of that match?
There were zero.
Zero! Exactly. A big zero. Goose egg. None. Which means technically the match is still going on because it's not over yet. Because, you see, you can't not fail to answer the 10 count if your opponent never pins you. Therefore, either the result is null and void and the match is still going on, or what TNA really gave us was a last man standing match. And I'm going to go, Patrick O'Dowd, with option B, because that was not a Texas death match. Oh, no. That was a last man standing match, which TNA purely called a Texas death match for the sole fact that they were in Texas. So congratulations, TNA. Just to try to buy some goodwill amongst the hometown fans, you pissed on decades of professional wrestling history. Way to go. I hope you're proud of yourself. Go to hell.
Yeah, you know, unfortunate wording. If they had done any sort of, like, variation of, like, a Dallas something, like, they could have changed it. And it would have, like, I remember sending you the result and being like, "Ah, this match wasn't bad except for the weak ending." And then I described that, you know, Bully Ray couldn't answer the 10 count, and you were like, "Well, did Ethan Carter hit the pinfall?" And I'm like, "Nope." And then my phone exploded
because it's not a death match.
I'm talking about the Intercontinental title. Like, that's what happened.
I actually like the Texas Death Match gimmick. I think it's a great stipulation match. There's a lot you can do with it creatively. I remember, as a young Greg DeMarco, watching a Texas Death Match in the AWA and seeing Larry Zbysko purposely get pinned as to not take a lot of damage and be able to get up and fight for the rest. Like, he was in a sleeper hold, got himself pinned. It wasn't a sleeper hold. It was something else, obviously, because you can't be on your shoulder sleeper hold. Yeah. Got himself pinned and then therefore was good after the rest period. Like, they told a story utilizing the rule. They just changed the name because they were in Texas. And that, to me, is just a cop-out. It's stupid. And because they've had a last man standing match in TNA before. We witnessed live a last knockout standing match. So there's no – it's solely because they're in Texas. Like, did you not have enough Texas things? Was booking the Von Erichs not enough Texas for you? You had to go and have a quote-unquote Texas death match, which wasn't a Texas match at all? Is that what you had?
I mean, Greg, everything's bigger in Texas. So, you know, you got to make it bigger.
They actually made it smaller by eliminating the pinball.
Yeah, true.
Oh, God. And you know what else they did, Patrick O'Dowd?
They did a lot of things, Greg.
They actually had poor Jeremy Borash, because if you don't know, Jeremy Borash manages the official Impact Wrestling Twitter account. He sends out a tweet on Sunday that is like, you know, once we get 500 retweets, we'll reveal the opening match of Slammiversary. And then it only got 263 retweets, and so they had to delete the tweet.
That's humiliating.
That is. And you know what? They announced Team 3D as their next Hall of Fame inductee. So it's confirmed now, Patrick O'Dowd. The TNA Hall of Fame exists for the sole purpose, because the WWE Hall of Fame purely exists for to sell things and to recognize people that Vince himself and now also Triple H wants to recognize. That's better than the TNA Hall of Fame, which exists solely so TNA can say, we inducted blank first. Because their first inductee was who? Sting. Their second inductee, finally, after months of you know, stupid storyline, was who? Kurt Angle. Now it's the Dudley Boys, or Team 3D. So congratulations. Not AJ Styles, not James Storm, not any other TNA original, but people who established themselves in other companies and belong in the WWE Hall of Fame are getting inducted by TNA solely so they can say they did it first.
Yeah, I got nothing on that one. Like, I have no response there. When they announced it, I was like, oh, of course they did. Like,
yeah.
And that's really about all I can say is, oh, of course they did. Like, you're kind of running through Bush League Central right now as you look at all this stuff. And this is what makes it so hard to like TNA. Because, you know, we've said this many times, we want to like TNA. And then they do stuff like this.
Yeah, and it just goes on, too. Now, I do have to give them some credit, because the IWC is like slamming
yeah.
TNA for only filling one side of the arena, because, you know, last time when they went to the Alamo Dome, they drew, depending on the reports you read, I've seen 5,000,
yep.
8,000. From what I understand, it was more on the 8,000 side. This time they drew, I've seen, you know, 2,000, supposedly it was really 3,000, and apparently that's a bad thing. Well, there were times when the WWE did this too. I went to Raw myself when I was in college. I went to Raw, and they used one half of the arena. Like, this is not.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
not
unusual.
You can slam TNA for this, and people sending out different pictures or whatever. Oh no, there were empty sections. You and I went to a WrestleMania with 10,000 empty seats. Like, that,
yep.
just that. You can't slam them for that. But what we can slam them for, Patrick O'Dowd, is you know, Dixie Carter pulls Bully Ray from Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore Fights. They start fighting on Twitter. Now suddenly Tommy Dreamer's been invited to come to Impact Live this Thursday, which, oh, by the way, happens to emanate 1 hour outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
It is somewhat convenient.
Because the people that watch TNA and pop a rating on TNA care about this feud between Dixie Carter and Tommy Dreamer, which, oh, by the way, weren't they trying to turn Dixie face?
It seemed like it, and then this happened. So
it doesn't matter, though, because that was the turning Dixie face along with, you know, putting MVP in the title match, which I'll get to, was taped in, like, what, November?
When did they tape the stuff?
March? I don't even know. Yeah. And that brings
March.
To another point. So TNA couldn't talk about MVP's injury until Friday, 2 days before Slammiversary, because they had taped all this television up to the point of Slammiversary and had to show it. Otherwise, it's like, well, why is the injured MVP out there fighting right now? So they basically had to keep that secret, even though it was a terribly kept secret.
And then at the pay-per-view, be like, oh, he hurt himself at his last match.
Yeah, well, at least they revealed it on Friday,
yeah.
and they actually came up with a good – I mean, what they did made sense. I will give them credit for that. Like, MVP's two lackeys in Bobby Lashley and Kenny King being in their quote-unquote qualifying matches to get into the cage, that made sense to me. So I'm going to be fair to TNA in all of this. Like, they deserve, you know, they deserve the credit for doing the best with what they could do in that situation. And they made Eric Young look like a stronger champion with the result of Slammiversary. Apparently couldn't do that for Magnus, Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah, but... Right. Taking over to Magnus, who they completely killed, and then gave the title over, or, you know, had him lose the title in an effort to pop a rating, which it didn't pop a rating, oddly enough.
No, obviously not. Yeah.
I think it, you know, got its 0.9 or 0.8 or whatever it is that they do.
I remember when the big report. I remember it was funny because there were two reports. It was like, you know, one report was very negative towards TNA, like TNA fails in the coveted demographics again, and the other report was very positive, like TNA tops a million viewers again. It's really. No, it's funny, the spin that people want to put on. That's what TNA does to people. WWE does as well. So, and Patrick O'Dowd, my other favorite, which I didn't even put on the list, is, of course, TNA with their groundbreaking announcement that Matt Hardy will be in New York City for their I think there's like 14 tapings now in New York City that they're going to be doing at the Hammerstein Ballroom, which is not even close to being sold out at this point, even though it was just recently sold out by Ring of Honor. But I digress. It's we're excited about Matt Hardy, really?
Well, like, they're excited about Matt Hardy. Like,
but
I
they
mean,
think we're excited about Matt Hardy? Like this is not, this is not even the Von Erichs wrestling in Texas. Like, Impact's not coming to us from Cameron, North Carolina. It's coming to us from New York City, where if I remember correctly, they hate Matt Hardy.
Yeah, I got nothing for you, dude.
I cannot wait. I can't. Here's the thing. And none of these are live, which really makes me upset. I'm pretty sure all of these are taped, which makes me very sad because I want to know what the crowd does for real. Not what we hear on television, but what the crowd does for real.
If I see one more time an audience not talking or moving their mouths and yet hearing them boo, like, that makes my head explode. Like, here's the thing is I watched that pay-per-view. This past week, and say what you will about everything else, which, by the way, I think that the product has sunk pretty low, that there are people that are like, that wasn't such a bad show, because it wasn't a very good show. Like, when I watched it, there were matches that were okay. There was nothing that really set the world on fire. The X Division match, I must have watched a different match, because I saw a match where you had a lot of missed spots, and maybe that's the fault of the camera too. But like where Eddie Edwards completely misses somebody's head on an enziguri or whatever, but yet, like, it looks like he kicked the guy out of his boots. So, you know, whatever, that's a whole aside. It's where they are. They just, they really do rely on these, like, at this point, these second-rate names as if they were a big deal. Or these like, you look at what they try to bring in to make a big deal. And Matt Hardy, you know, they didn't really, like, go nuts over, oh, my God, Matt Hardy's going to be there. It was posted on Twitter and on their website the way, I think, as you told me when we were talking about this before the show, as an indie show would do it.
Yeah. But it's basically news, like the indie. And they're bringing guys in for one show. Like we're never going to see the Von Erich boys again in TNA.
No.
Like, they are doing one thing right. They're holding an online poll on their website that'll close this Thursday after Impact goes off the air, asking if the six-sided ring should be brought back.
Well, I mean,
now it's only for New York. It lists coming back at the New York City TV taping, so I don't know if it's going to be brought back permanently or just for New York City, which is where Destination X is taking place. So they should already be using the six-sided ring for this event. But you'll notice, Patrick O'Dowd, if you go on the website and vote, which I did, and you know I voted for the six-sided ring because, you know, I'm a real TNA fan at one point and like the six-sided ring. The results are private.
Yep, so you already know what the answer is.
They could be like, oh, well, you know what, the fans didn't want it, so we didn't bring it back. I hope they bring it back. I think that's the right thing to do.
I do, too.
Try to be different. I know they're not really trying to be different with anything else. I think they're trying to confuse people into thinking they're watching WWE. I'll be 100% honest with you.
The show itself, it's so confusing, you don't know what you're watching. The last comment I made about TNA was where heel and face turns happen with no warning and make absolutely no sense. Like, that's really, like, we are in that period. Like, I feel like I'm watching the death throes of WCW all over again, where, you know, we're bringing in talent that we sort of think is a big deal, but it's not really a big deal. We're shifting storylines left and right, fast out of nowhere, which I find amazing for a show that's pre-taped for months at a time. Like, that shows me, like, this is what's troublesome. Because there's so much that's taped, that they have all these, you know, changes in face turns and heel turns, like Abyss, for example, was one of the ones that I listened. Like, suddenly Abyss is a face, kind of, because he's supporting Jeff Hardy and Willow. Like, where the fuck did that come from?
Who cares?
Yeah,
it's Abyss.
But somebody had to, in their taping plan, be like, this is part of the plan, and it's gonna be and it's gonna be big. Like, this isn't like, you know, for as much as we like to look back on that time, this isn't like Vince Russo booking where we're just flipping the script every week. Like, there is no sense. Like, there's nothing to it. And, you know, God, you know, people need to be fired over there. and get back to creating themselves an identity. I'm going back to a Jim Ross blog. I've read a lot of Jim Ross this week. He even pointed out, he's like, TNA doesn't storytell very well. They really should focus on their in-ring product because they have young, talented people who can produce well in the ring. And at this point, the veterans they have, while they're not, you know, tear down the walls amazing in terms of name value, they have veterans that can still put on good matches. So let them put on good matches and minimize the story.
They have a guy in Jeff Hardy who is still very talented, but I forget, we give him an umbrella and a mask and we call him Willow because he's probably still their most marketable person.
Yeah, well, and the problem with that is it's not just that they did that, it's that they keep calling him Jeff Hardy. Like, he's this alter ego of Jeff Hardy, you completely, like, whatever mystique the character's supposed to have, dead. Because you're like, whatever, it's Jeff Hardy. Like,
but that's because it's Jeff Hardy. If it were some random guy from the indies, like it probably should be, since it's a deep character.
It's a mask character, yeah.
But no, they want to make sure that people know that it's Jeff Hardy, so they'll tune in to see. They want people to tune in to see Jeff Hardy, but yet they want him to be Willow. Jeff Hardy probably wants to be Willow, and TNA can do that for him.
And I disagree with you with it that it needs to be somebody. Like, I just think that, you know, we talked about suspension of disbelief earlier in the show. This is one of those times where if they don't say anything about it being Jeff Hardy, like, people figure out that it's Jeff Hardy and are okay with the Willow character, as opposed to, I mean, Willow showed up and instantly Mike today's like, that's the alter ego of Jeff Hardy. Holy crap. And it's like, that's not groundbreaking news.
But for like a year.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Like, Joseph Park. Joseph Park was in Abyss for like a year until they finally gave into that. Oh my God. Yeah. It's backwards.
So,
it's so backwards.
Not,
it's
not pretty, dude.
At this point, it's not pretty.
It's not pretty. And I want them to do well, but they're not doing it. They're not going to make it.
I fear that too. We're still worried about the TV deal. And remember, this is coming from a place of two people who would love for TNA to be successful and for there to be actual some semblance of competition in the world of professional wrestling. It's just not there.
Yeah, it's not at all.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
How'd you go down?
Going away from wrestling on this one, as everybody knows right now, the largest sporting event in the world is taking place in the World Cup. Popular everywhere else, less popular here. Enjoy the matches and watch them, but if it is something that you're passionate about, please pay attention to the other horribleness that is the corruption that goes around in FIFA. There's a lot of really, really, horrible, horrible things that are happening specifically in Qatar. The economic impact that it's having on Brazil has been felt, and it is not all just about soccer. It is about the countries that host it and the impacts that are being played out there as well. Soapbox over.
Again.
Yep. Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
Ironically enough, Patrick O'Dowd, my quick hit also about soccer, but not about the World Cup.
That's right.
I am here to talk about the boy, my 8-year-old son, Patrick O'Dowd, who, as you know, plays the soccer. He's been playing the soccer for like 5 years and is quite the goalie now, quite the goalkeeper. And this past weekend, he played goalkeeper. He's 8, and he's on a team of 7 and 8-year-olds. And they ended up playing a team of 9 and 10-year-olds. And this team has lost one game in the 3 seasons that young Giovanni has played for it. The coach at the beginning of the game was even telling me, he's like, we're going to get crushed. Like, that's what the coach said was going to happen. The game was tied 1-1. It ended up, you know, in a 1-1 tie, solely because my son blocked over 30 shots on goal by the other team. I think his team got, like, 7 shots on goal and scored on one of them. He blocked 30 shots on goal. One did go in and was applauded and praised by the other team's parents, basically everyone but the other team's coaches, who I think wanted to win the game because they didn't beat a team younger than them. And my little superstar gets to be my quick hit of the week.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
See, have my own show, Patrick O'Dowd. I can do that.
Yeah, fair enough, man.
Excellent. So next week,
not gonna hear anything from me.
Next week we're gonna have somebody on the show. I don't know who. I think the choices have now been established as like Darren Corbin, Tito Escondido, and Shelly Martinez. We'll see what happens. Well, I'm just gonna start booking each show the week before during the show.
Okay,
then. That's
right. don't start Russoing this up.
Any number of Vinces, actually.
Get Vince Russo on the show, and then he can plan our show for the next week.
We've been working on that, actually. I'm going to
turn heel on you and waffle you with a chair, and then we are going to fight for the show as it's suspended above us on a 10-foot pole.
The Greg DeMarco show on a pole match.
That's right.
I saw what you did there, and I liked it. That's the scary part about it all.
That's right, damn it.
All right, next week, Patrick O'Dowd, we do this again.
All right, I'll be there.
Thanks for listening to the Greg DeMarco Show.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to the Greg DeMarco Show.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
best in all his future endeavors.
It's time to get off.
DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd.
Ripping these hoes! Y'all wouldn't know entertainment if it slapped you in the face!